Hey, everybody. What's going on? I'm Rob Cesternino, and I'm very excited to bring you the first in a brand new Survivor off-season series where we are going to be taking a look at some of the best and worst lists of ridiculous Survivor things on a new series that we're calling Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. Here on Rob Has a Podcast, and now here is the man, the co-creator of this new off-season series. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom. Mike, how are you?
Rob, I am pumped beyond belief. It's been 6 months since we've talked Survivor proper, but I do have to wonder, do I have to get my tattoo changed now? Is there a misspelling due to now the new name of this podcast?
Yeah, maybe you could just like put like a sticker on that one part for when we do these episodes.
Yeah, a little ID decal over the A that I can peel away at any point. Once, if this podcast series ends, I'll be like, great. Now I can go back to what it initially was.
Have we got you on video to show off your tat yet?
I don't think so. Let me.
That's not working great. Okay. All right. Check out Mike Bloom on Instagram.
Exactly.
If you want that kind of
slide into my DMs and I'll send you pics of my tattoo.
All right. We are off to a great start. Very excited. Today we're going to be talking about Survivor's greatest product placement. Okay. So we will get to that. But let me introduce the third member of our panel today. Once upon a time, he said, let's do a podcast about all of the greatest things that Survivor tried to plug on its finales, which is similar. Turned out that other than TKO, there wasn't a ton of things that Survivor was trying to hawk on its finales, but he joins us here today. Please welcome Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. I'm honored and grateful that you let me on this first episode of this series. And my honor and gratefulness are brought to you by Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats. Wow.
Delicious. Quaker Oats.
Wow. That is a big canister of oats. That's like a Survivor rations.
Yeah.
That's the thing,
like, that's the thing like Jeff Probst barters you for in exchange for your shelter.
Like, all right, yeah. I'll give you these oats, but we're going to take the tarp.
Well, let me add on to that my participation in the podcast is sponsored by energy infused fruit drink. Love what? You bye.
Wasn't Justin Timberlake hawking that at one point? Mm-hmm, going bye, mm-hmm. bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
it's natural marketing.
Yeah. And this episode of the podcast is sponsored by robinswebsite.com/patron. Check out all the fun we're having over there, including our first ever all patron Brant Steele, where the three of us last night got together. You could check out Jason Reed as part of the New School Patron Tribe. And we did our very first ever Survivor Brant Steele with real live people. And it was so much fun. I made it for free available at robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can check out that full video and see how that all played out. And Mike, you and I did another Brant Steele on Thursday of last week. We did a Star Wars Brant Steele.
It's one of those things where like there was so much reserve that like once we got the real wheel rolling, we really couldn't stop it. So yeah, you, myself, and Josh Regler did a Star Wars Survivor Brant Steele, which was, for lack of a better term, out of this world. In my opinion, I think a very well-received and very fun season on our part. But man, you know, we crossed a new threshold when it came to simulations and actually having real-life bodies and people to talk with when it came to simulating a Brant Steele season. And it was an experiment that paid off immensely successfully from my perspective, and I think a lot of people's perspectives. So there are many incentives to become a patron, even in the Survivor off-season. And one of them is, as you said, Rob, this is a new Survivor off-season podcast series in which, you know, we are taking suggestions from the Rob Has a Podcast patrons, both in topics and in entries within those topics. So again, many, many reasons to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. And now there's a new one. You get to have first-hand participation in what we're going to be doing here for the rest of the off-season.
Yeah, we're trying to do more and more patron activities now that Big Brother is in the rear view mirror where it should be. Okay, so today we are going to be going through our list of Survivor product placements. Mike, how did you define product placements?
Sure. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to talk about essentially all the Survivor sponsors over the years. And to backtrack a bit as to sort of like the origin and onus of this podcast, because Rob and I had sort of been going back and forth as to like, It's been 6 months since Winners at War wrapped, with Survivor not necessarily on the horizon anytime soon, at least in the American variety. We have 40 seasons to ruminate on. Let's take the opportunity for maybe some of these jokier podcast ideas to actually become realities. And so we are going to do what Stephen Fishback does not have the guff to do himself: arbitrarily and reductively rank and list various things throughout 20 years and 40 seasons of Survivor. And I figured a good place to start, which was actually one that was suggested a bunch in our Patreon group, would be sponsors. So we're going to be talking about all the Survivor sponsors over the years. Basically, anytime you saw a reward or Jeff salaciously talk about a brand or product that exists outside of Survivor that has somehow made its way past the fourth wall into this little island nestled home, and the contestants are interacting with it in some way.
Yep, product placement and brand deals have been a part of Survivor since its very first season. I think that that was one of the ways that Mark Burnett helped pay for the show. He went to CBS and said that there would be sponsors every single week, that the castaways would fight over things like a Bud Light or a catalog from Target. And that was one of the things that was in the show from its very first season, probably heavier in its earlier seasons, but still
very much
exists
so
today. Jason, was there any particular reason that the idea of things Survivor was trying to shill jumped out to you enough that what you wanted to go back and watch every finale of Survivor?
Well, it was less about what Survivor is trying to shill. It was more about kind of touchstones in time. Like the idea sprang from the very first Survivor finale. They pan to these two guys in the audience, and they are the Reebok guys. I was like, who the heck are the Reebok guys?
So was I did it a little Dan Googling. And Dave? Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't Dan and Dave. Dan and Dave were earlier. They were actually
right.
Like,
oh, they knew Dan and Dave.
That was the Reebok campaign, right? Where they were like competing for the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, so that was the first one. This one is more of like these two like douche bros doing different commercial spots and like doing stupid stuff. And then I found out the commercial that preceded that pan into the audience was actually a Reebok commercial featuring BB from the first season.
Yeah.
Where he's, you know, they hear a rustling in the trees and his BB runs out. And he's like, they're cooking a rat. And he tells him how to cook the rat, you know, like from the first season.
Mm-hmm. I think Sonya was in that too, right? I think they got like the first two people.
Yeah, or I think I do believe Stacey Stone made an appearance, which is surprising. That's some in a rare non-litigious connotation with Survivor. Yeah. But yeah, I think I saw stills or stillmans of her with those two guys.
Stills, that's her nickname.
Okay. So that first reunion got me thinking, like, what else is there to see and look at? Turns out there wasn't a whole lot. Mm-hmm. So that idea was a little dead on arrival, but it was fun going through all the finales for sure.
Okay. All right. Mike, you've also incorporated some listing software here for us to go through as we get to all these submissions from the listeners of Robinson Podcast.
Yes. Yeah, so we are doing what the kids are doing nowadays and the Twitches and on the streets, and we are tiering things up here. This is something that I have shamelessly and lovingly taken from the great Puya Zamfakili and the Tier List Tuesdays that he does on his own twitch.tv/Puyaism. But basically what we're going to do is we have four tiers set up here. And that's going to serve how we initially sort our sponsors as I go through them. And then from there, we can sort of sort within those sponsors how things rank, so that hopefully by the end of this podcast, we will have an unquestionable categorical ranking of the list of sponsors that we have in front of us from best to worst.
A numbered list, yes. When we were talking this through, that I felt like that in Robin Akivanita podcast, once upon a time, we came up with the king of the mats. We ranked all of the Matts and Matthews and Davids that are out there, and we ended up walking away with a list of the greatest Matts and Matthews, and that's what we hope to come away with at the end of every single episode of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist.
Yes, it's something we can go to the bank with. You know, admittedly, as Rob said sort of at the beginning of this podcast, these are going to be very silly ideas. We have a lot of Survivor history to ruminate over, so you know, you're not really going to see here are the rankings of the fifth placers or winners or seasons. We're instead going to dote on perhaps some of the the more eclectic, the more miscellaneous
yes.
of Survivor paraphernalia. But as Jason is alluding to, you know, these are things that have been part of the show since its very beginning in very weird, very interesting ways. And so this serves as not only our own ranking and categorizing, but also a bit of a retrospective on 20 seasons, two decades of Survivor at this point.
Yeah. And we really want to hear your feedback on these shows. So let us know in the YouTube comments, on social media, the patron Facebook group, wherever you can leave us your Rob Has a Podcast feedback. Hey, it doesn't kill you to talk about it on the Survivor Reddit either.
Definitely not. No, Reddit it up.
Take a break from all your poop posting.
Put it everywhere. Oh, Yule posting. Put it everywhere on social media.
All right.
We need to get Survivor trending again.
Let's do it. All right. So, Mike has the list. This list came from submissions from the listeners or yourself as well?
Yeah, so I put some in there. We have some, the vast majority of them are submissions from the RHAP patrons. Of course, if there are some blind items that I neglected, I do apologize. We could throw in some at the last minute if we want to, but it is a pretty girthy list, so I think it'll be enough to sustain us for this podcast.
Okay, all right. So, Mike, give us the first thing that we're going to talk about, and is this in any particular order?
No particular order, but you know what? I think Jason did a great job of teeing up one of our sponsors. I think we should start with Reebok, because that was one of the initial sponsors of Survivor. It was a sponsor for the first four seasons. In fact, it is a rare collector's item nowadays for the buffs that had the Reebok logo on them, because after season four, when Reebok went bye-bye, at least from Survivor's perspective, they then republished and resold.
Reebok published.
Yeah, exactly. These new buffs without the logo on them. So this is definitely a sign of the times. So yeah, it was all over the buffs. Unfortunately, I don't believe they got any Reebok products. But as Jason did mention, there is a commercial featuring two actors by the name of Jake Safford and Don Lee playing Nate and Brian. That played during the finale of Survivor. Rob, I popped that in the chat. If you would like to play it, we can all sort of take our minds back to the summer of 2000 and see when B.B. Anderson met the two frosted tip douche bros, Nate and Brian, in this Reebok commercial.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go ahead and share that here on our YouTube video. And for the podcast, you should be able to hear this. Okay, here is the aforementioned commercial.
How's it looking?
Like filet mignon. Did you hear that noise?
No. That either.
Maybe it's Bigfoot. Maybe it's a boogeyman. We're gonna die, Nate! We're gonna die!
To be continued. Okay, then I guess this is part two of the commercial.
We're gonna die, Nate! We're gonna die!
Die over there, man!
Okay. Two guys.
What the hell are you guys doing?
Cooking.
You can't cook rats that way. You gotta have indirect heat and you gotta keep it moist. Don't you have any brains in your head?
Want better advice?
Go get some firewood.
Get Reebok with DMX technology at Finish Line.
Hey.
Shoes to absorb the shock.
You're the loser guy, right?
Not cool, guys. Okay. Okay, that one's just BB, yeah. That Mike, should we go past this or that's good?
I mean, it's going to cut to these two guys in the audience. So actually, if you want to see the douche bros make their way,
here are these guys in the audience. Yeah, were these guys the Reebok guys? Were they Don Lee and Jake Safford? Are these guys actually Olympic athletes or they're just douches?
No, they're just douches. There was a Reebok guys campaign like, I want to say 8 years before that for the Olympics, where they were like actual serious athletes. I looked that up because I looked up Reebok guys and it said there were two Olympic athletes. I looked back at this picture and I was like, these guys don't look like serious Olympic athletes. But then I found out the difference between the two. And it's a very different campaign.
I mean, Jake Safford looks like if you couldn't get Sean William Scott for your movie, like I'm sure you could get this guy. He totally has Stifler energy. And
Big
Don
Stifler
Lee
feels, energy.
Exactly. Especially with this pose that he's doing right now. And God, I mean, I think people would have done anything to be sitting at that Survivor finale, especially, and to have these two guys get like a sort of a front row seat and have to basically gyrate towards the camera when it cut to them after this commercial where they met the great BB. Mm-hmm. Feels like, I don't know, it feels like they got an opportunity that they didn't know that they had at the time.
Yeah. To be fair, if I went camping and heard a noise in the woods and then I was then ambushed by BB Anderson, I would be really freaked out.
I am so intrigued by the choice of BB. Of everyone, you're going to pick the guy that's like, I'm going home. Everyone vote me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just think that production wise, that I think that that was the first person that was available to do it. And then they said, oh, this show's a mega hit. Okay, who could we get? All right. And they ended up getting like the second boot from the season to be able to shoot a commercial for the finale.
Why don't you try to quit before the commercial shoot was over?
Yeah, exactly. Do we really have to do this? he goes into craft and washes his shirt in the coffee that everyone's trying to drink.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like a commercial where there's no like no real tie to the product. It's
right.
Just like a blurb at the end.
Okay. So, yeah, Reebok made stuff. But Jason, do you find Reebok to be a very iconic Survivor sponsor?
No, besides the symbol being in shots in the show, like they didn't really point to it much as saying, put on your official Reebok Survivor, I don't know if they call it buffs at that time, bandanas.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it. Like, it was just a symbol there, and it didn't really come into play much in the actual show.
Yeah. So, for me, Mike, I don't know how you feel. This is not doing a lot for me.
Yeah, so let's sort of talk about how we're doing this. Because, like I said, we have four tiers that we are going to put these various products into. So it's an easy way to sort of stratify things. So the top one is going to be worth playing for, which means the best of the best, the tip of the top, creme de la creme. My life is fine means like, yeah, it's pretty good to average. Ain't no Hershey bar a la Colby Donaldson means like, yeah, it's not great, but it is not as bad as forget you, go home, goodbye. We do not want to see this brand again. It is trash.
I guess it's not trash, but it's just, it's a nothing sneaker for me.
What do you think, Jason?
I'd put it in the bottom tier because there just wasn't much going on with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I do like the fact, like, it had at least its mark on the first four seasons. But when mm-hmm. I look back at, like, to your point, infamous Reebok moments on Survivor.
There's none.
There's none. It really isn't there, which I think a lot of these that we're going to talk about had infamous moments on Survivor that we will remember. So it's almost like, did the brand do its job even? Like, are we remembering Reebok Survivor moments in 2020?
Yeah. They stink.
And not just the shoes?
Yeah. Get rid of it.
All right. I'm glad to, I'm happy to start this out here with forget you go home.
Listen, I own Reeboks and I'm even telling you to put them in the bottom tier.
It's not like I hate them. It's that I don't care about them. So,
and I think, yeah, and I think at the end of the day, not caring is when it comes to marketing, that's
the almost
worst.
Worse.
That's
the
death knell, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Mike, what's next?
All right, well, let's go from shoes to food, sort of keep the ooh sound in there. We have
Perfect.
A lot of food here, but I'm going to go to popping and never stopping. We're going to talk about Pringles. So, you might remember Pringles first appeared in Survivor Vanuatu. There was a reward where they were given a trip to a waterfall and a Pringles meal, but it came to super prominence in Survivor Palau, when the Oolong tribe won a trip to Jellyfish Lake, complete with Pringles and Mai Tais.
Yeah.
But not just regular Pringles, Rob. These are Survivor-themed Prince Pringles.
Yes, I actually have a couple of cans in my garage somehow that I'm like afraid to open because I think they're a biohazard now. First off, Jason, that Jellyfish Lake is up there for one of the worst rewards ever. The last thing I would want is put me in a lake filled with jellyfish.
And soggy Pringles.
they don't sting, at least. I don't know if that's going to help the situation at all.
No way.
Yeah,
so
I would feel it touch my leg. I'm like, nope, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, I'd rather just put me in a regular lake. What do I need to be in there with?
Can we
like
take the jellyfish out? Like, is that an option?
Yeah. Okay. All right. The Pringles, of course. Now this was interesting because you could go and buy the Survivor Pringles mm-hmm. because who doesn't want to eat chips with red dye number 4 questions on them?
Yeah, though I do believe it was oolong, so it was blue. And I'm assuming, so there are trivia questions, because I believe at the time Pringles had launched a campaign with like Trivial Pursuit, where they put trivia questions on, because nothing says I'm eating chips better than asking people questions with a mouthful of chips. And so we saw a sequence of the oolong tribe asking each other questions. Since they're oolong, I'm assuming they lost every single question. Mm-hmm. But it was still a fun moment to advertise when, again, Survivor was in such the zeitgeist that even your junk food was talking about Survivor.
Yeah. Okay. Jason, how do you feel about the Survivor Pringles?
As a product placement, I feel pretty good about them. Because it's, you know, they made it one specially for Survivor. And it was, you know, at the clip with the trivia was kind of entertaining. So I'd put it pretty high up there.
Pretty high up there. I think it was a good idea. I don't feel like it was iconic. So for me, I feel like it's very meh in terms of being a memorable product placement. And I had cans of Survivor Pringles. Somebody sent them to me. We couldn't find them in the store. Okay. So let's take a look at our list and see where we want to go. So I think it's definitely better than the shoes.
Right. So I think the question is, I think we're sort of between Ain't No Hershey Bar and My Life is Fine.
Yeah, it's fine. I think fine is the definition of the Survivor
Pringles.
I think
it'll end up at the end of fine.
I think it's a fun idea, right? Like, this is not just like a Survivor theme thing. This was actually facts related to Survivor. There were some questions that were asked. The reason that it really sticks in my head was I remember during these seasons, they would play these Pringles commercials constantly, and they would use footage from the show. And the one question they kept showing over and over and over again was Stephanie LaGrossa asking which Survivor player has a daughter named Rhea, and it was Rupert. And so I damn well knew Rupert's daughter's name by the end of that season, because I heard it about 13 times over the course of one season. So to
it's
your point,
hard for a Pringles trivia question.
Yeah, that was actually the other one. Two ones that we heard, or at least I heard on the episode, were like who won cars in Survivor All Stars, which the answer is not Rob Cesternino, and that's all that matters.
No.
And the other one was who at that point who had won more, women or men?
Hmm. Okay.
Rob, go get us some. Let's pop some open right now.
I'm afraid to open them.
They're probably all.
Yeah, I think we're gonna have to tend your house after that.
So, a quick anecdote on the Survivor Pringles. So, this is probably like 2005 when I got sent the Survivor Pringles, and you know, I still have them in my garage. I think Frail Mary said that she would take them if I wanted to send them to her.
Just like the sisterhood of the traveling Pringles can.
I believe that she said that she would accept them. So when I. You know, in the years in between when I was doing, you know, Survivor stuff and then when I started Rob as a podcast, so I worked at a production company and there was a guy that his real name was Chris, but everybody used to sort of like just goof on this guy and they called him Cliff. And he was
it's like a Jerry Gergich type.
Yeah, it was a similar dynamic. And he would just like eat the office out of house and home. And so we had the can of Survivor Pringles, like just like sitting around the office for only about like 3 years or so at that point in time. And then we just like left it on the counter knowing that one day he would eventually eat them. And then we told him like, boy, those are like 2 years expired. And he was so angry about why. Oh God. Oh, why would you leave those out? You knew I would eat them and you tried to poison me. I was like, no, nobody said to eat them.
We're not set a trap for you, Cliff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a coworker was once very angered. And that was easily, you know, 12 years ago at this point.
Yeah. I wonder what Cliff's doing right now.
I can imagine.
Are these the same cans you have in your garage?
They are from the same batch. I think somebody sent me like five cans of them. And then one point in like 2008, somebody opened them and tried to eat them.
All right. Yeah, I don't think we've actually heard the verdict. I'm assuming these are plain flavored Pringles.
Yeah, they're regular chips. They're regular chips with like just like the red question on there.
So it's not like coconut flavored or anything, not Survivor themed.
I could put on one of my like N95 masks and then go open a can and show do like an Instagram live or something like that.
That'd be interesting. Look, it's a long off season. We might as well. Screw Sporkle. Pringles are the new Survivor quizzing source.
Yeah, okay.
Put that things under a microscope. Let's check it out.
This will be like the Al Capone's vault of Survivor. I'll go in my garage and start taking out weirdo Survivor memorabilia.
Yeah, but something will actually be there. Geraldo.
We should have known then he was going to be trouble.
Yeah. All right. Mike, what's next?
All right, let's fast forward a bit. Let's go to season 34. This is actually an oft-forgotten sponsor, so much so that it had to be brought up by the patrons for me to remember it. Marshalls was a sponsor of Survivor back in Game Changers. How soon we forget, Rob, the Marshalls Lounge, which was a key reward in Survivor Game Changers. I'll let Jeff Probst describe it, Rob. I put a clip in there with a time code for you. I remember at the time, this is probably one of the most lascivious Jeff Probst descriptions that we've ever had, and that's what sort of has seared in my mind more than the actual Marshalls content itself.
Okay, all right. So let's take a look at the Marshalls Lounge from Survivor Game Changers. Okay. Here we go. Let's take a look at that. And here it is.
You will enjoy a shower with soap and shampoos. You'll dry off in Egyptian cotton towels. Relax in fluffy designer robes. Pamper yourself with lotions. And when you're good and clean, a little more comfort in the form of burgers. Apple pie.
All right, we're good on that. I think we're satisfied right now, Jeff.
At what point in the game is this? This is pre-merge here?
No, this is like the second vote after the merge. This is the Aussie boot.
Okay, the Marshalls Lounge. You know, maybe this is a two-hour episode. I think that maybe that's why.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, I think we were so as Haley Ford stands united. Not Haley Ford focus stands. We didn't even think about that second episode when indeed the Marshalls Lounge was the thing to get in that second hour.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, I mean, nothing really captures the imagination when you're talking about relaxation and the life of luxury like Marshalls.
Oh, yes. That's where I go to get all of my luxurious items. but say what you want about Jeff. If I have a single thing to sell, I'm giving it to him.
Yeah. I like when he talks about lotions.
Yeah. It's and the interesting thing is that apparently all these lotions that they end up going to at the actual Marshalls Lounge are all like coconut scented. Mm-hmm. And so like everything smells like the beach that they can't escape. Yeah. In the first place, it feels like a little bit, I don't know, Black Mirror-esque, that like, oh, you want to get off the island, but you never can. It's in your hair now.
Yes, I actually heard Ozzy is still working in robes and with lotions.
Yeah, I believe that book club is going to be the Marshalls catalog.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. All right. So, okay, this is interesting. It's absurd, but...
Yeah.
Not super memorable that this was like during the Rob has a podcast era. And I would have said if this was a game that this is a fake Survivor sponsorship. It did not happen.
Yeah, it's weird. This is definitely I'd say this is probably the most forgotten of the list that we're going to talk about. You know, it is Survivor Game Changers was an erratic season anyway. And this was also sort of in the category of store that is not known for a spa, sponsoring a spa. For some reason, like Marshalls is a department store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going there to do Black Friday shopping, now looking for Egyptian cotton towels and lotion.
Yeah. I feel like I go there to get cheap furnishings. Like if I need a couch cover, I go to Marshalls. Like that's what I get at Marshalls.
Socks. That's a good spot for underwear. Yeah. Undershirt.
Actually, the last time I set foot inside of a Marshalls, to be honest.
Yeah.
With.
Okay. So. This did exist because I do have here in my collection.
Pamper yourself with lotions.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess your skin gets pretty dry out there on Survivor. Maybe you want to douse yourself with lotion. Okay.
All right.
So I guess let's look at where to place this. And it's absurd, but not memorable.
Right.
So,
that's the thing is like, how much are we rating the actual? Because how much do you balance the memorability versus like the actual, I don't know, viability of the product itself, right? Because again, this is not really a Marshalls nobody's been like, oh, I can't wait to go to Marshall's for that fluffy bathrobe. It's more so like, how? Why the hell is Marshall sponsoring an island getaway here?
Okay.
I would question if you even got that stuff from Marshall's. Or did Marshall's just like, we'll just pay for the time on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Get the stuff wherever you want.
Okay. Marshall's, better or worse than Reebok?
Worse, I think.
Reebok at least has the commercial. Marshall's did, like, if Marshall's had spots with Ty Trang, maybe it would put it up there. Or, mm-hmm. or Jeff Probst greeting everybody.
He'd be so excited.
I mean,
so I could get like a chicken coop from Marshall's or something, like, well, actually, a crate to put a chicken in.
At the Marshall's lounge, Ty Trang streaked, ran across the Marshall's lounge naked during the reward, which is.
Yeah,
that's
so tie.
For a lot of people, sans Mark the human, we're saying in response. But yeah, I think that Reebok has more of a connection to the show ultimately than Marshall's. Though I think this is the beginning of many WTF sponsors with being linked to the show proper.
Okay, all right. What else we got, Mike?
Well, let's go from a fairly sort of ubiquitous one. Let's go to one that has been a key part of more than 10 seasons of Survivor. Wow. I'm talking about Sprint, baby.
Sprint.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Of course, Sprint has sent many various giant phones to Survivor Island, sometimes with videos. They've given away $100,000 at numerous finales. Sprint.
Yeah. So Sprint began sponsoring.
And they still exist, right?
They still exist. Yeah. I believe they merged with T-Mobile. So I don't know. I don't know who got off better in that deal, but they're sort of like the multi-head conglomerate there.
Weren't as prepared for a marathon. They really, it was all in the name in terms of like their business model. It was a
exactly
sprint.
Like, we're good for short spurts, but that's about it. Don't rely on us long term.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Sprint basically was a major part of Survivor, at least as a name sponsor, from seasons 15 to 26. Even outside of the Sprint fan favorite player of the season, they were used mostly for loved ones videos. There were many a time when they would get a Sprint phone that had those videos from the loved ones on it. I also recall in Survivor Samoa, they won a Sprint Palm Prix and it had an idle clue on it as to where to go. Because at that time, right, phones with pictures were like, it was like, you know, Back to the Future 2015, flying cars. This is absolutely bananas.
Don't go to 2020.
So they wanted to show off as many features of this as possible. And actually, I found a press release from 2000, I guess 9, it was, about how not only has Sprint, you know, sent a Palm Prix to the island, but it was actually developing its own app for Survivor, where someone could have a Player of the Week competition, which is a sweepstakes encouraging fans to vote for their favorite player each week for the chance to win $10,000. So even outside of the Sprint fan favorite prize, they were still...
Who would win $10,000? The Survivor or the person that voted?
The person that voted, though, I think there's one certain Survivor that would very much have wished that he would have gotten $10,000 upon getting the popular vote each and every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Jason, do you have a particularly fond memory about Sprint with Survivor?
All things I remember about Sprint are just them, you know, bragging about the camera. You know, they'd be, oh my gosh, can you believe the picture and video this takes? I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, obviously there's a producer, like, off camera feeding them these lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my fondest memories of that. It's like, obviously these are, you know, produced. And thinking, why aren't iPhone sponsoring this?
Well, I don't know. This is but Yule played before the iPhone. So that's your answer right there. Survivor played half in the iPhone age, half not.
Yeah, sure. All the phones are hilarious. If you go back and watch those episodes, they're like so gigantic and like, ooh.
Yeah, well, I think they're really trying to. You can tell with a lot of these sponsors that they're trying to benefit from the idea of people deprived of creature comforts, right? Thinking like, well, we're really going for the any port in a storm angle of, listen, if you passed a Palm Prix in the street, you wouldn't give it a second glance.
Well,
but
at that point, Sprint for the survivors meant family visit, like. As soon as they saw that Sprint like box, like, oh my God, we're getting our family visit.
Mm-hmm.
It was less about the phone than seeing their families.
Yeah. And it did seem, though, that the Sprint Fan Favorite Award, like there was a little bit more to it than the Sia Award, where Sia, it's just random, where she's just going to give money to whoever she happens to like in that season. But I do feel like that for the Sprint Fan Favorite, Mike, I mean, I don't have the list open in front of me, but I think it was sort of encouraged by, you know, who would play a hard game. Is that fair to say?
All right, well, let's play a fun game here. Let's see if I can name all the Sprint fan favorite players here.
Okay.
Because we start with James Clement two times over. He wins in both 15 and 16. Then we get a series of winners. We get Bob Crowley, and then we get JT. Then we get a doubleheader of Russell Hance. He wins in both 19 and 20. I want to say 21 was Jane Bright, 22 was Boston Rob, 23 was Ozzy, 24 was Kim, 25, Lisa Welchel eked out Malcolm by a hair, but then he comes back to win it and beats out Brenda in 26.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
That was frighteningly impressive, Mike.
Yeah, although you started with the double James.
I started with the sprint one, not like the Suri Ozzy Yao Man actual fan favorite prize when they got the cars.
Yeah, I don't know if Yao Man, he's not considered actual as part of this list of fan favorites, but yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess to your point, I think it was just very beloved characters for one reason or another, whether they were big players or big characters. I think in the case of like James Clement, for example, he was definitely the latter. But I think if you look at someone like Boston Rob in Redemption Island, for instance, he was the former. I think it also depends on the season as well. Granted, if there are not many options to go for, but luckily, you know, I think that Sprint fan favorite players sort of went away as the started to wane as the social media community around Survivor waxed, because now I cannot imagine a Sprint fan favorite award right now. I'm okay with it being dictatorial in Sia's hands right now, because I don't know how much I trust Survivor fans in terms of giving away money here.
Okay. All right. So, Jason, let's go back to the list. And so then let's see what we should do in terms of our Sprint fan favorite. Do you have a sense of where it should go?
I think it should go pretty high up. It was a pretty big part of Survivor, you know, for a long time. And, you know, it did have huge product placement inside the episode, at least one episode a season. So I think it should go pretty high up.
It's going to be the one in the screenshot of Ben Browning and Ashley is the symbol of the Sprint Palm Prix.
Okay. All right. Can I ask why?
I found a shot of the Palm Prix and it went in too close for the screenshot.
I can assure you.
Probably hard to find pictures of Sprint phones
ben
nowadays.
Ben Browning is not in the running for the Sprint favorite.
No ounce of $10,000 coming his way
should go
whatsoever.
Lower just for that, if that's what they're even thinking. Okay. All right. Better than Marshalls.
Yes.
Definitely sure. Better than Marshalls.
Okay.
I would argue better than Reebok.
Better than Reebok.
Yeah.
Are they better than Pringles?
That's the big question here.
I think they are.
I think they are.
Now, would you put it in the top tier, though, or is it still in My Life is Fine?
For me, just in terms of doing this, I'm going to be very protective of the top tier. That I feel like that if we want to have like a big drop-off between the best of the best, to me, it's got to be a no-doubter if it's going to go to the top.
So you're a very harsh grader.
Yes.
So how many are in each tier?
We can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want. Rob's here being Mr. Ratburn.
Yeah. I'm not married to the tiers. I'm more interested in the, you know, numbered list
the overall
that we come
rankings.
Away with. This is just placeholders for me.
Okay.
Yeah, so right now it's our top seed is what you're talking about.
It's the best so far, but I don't think it's the best that there possibly could be.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, it stuck around for 5 years for a reason. It has certainly has made its mark on Survivor, as is apparent from the fact that it gave away basically over $1 million to various Survivor contestants.
Mm-hmm. All right. What's next, Mike?
All right. Let's go. You know what? Let's go old school again here, since went a bit middle school. I want to talk about Visa.
Visa. Okay.
So
much
like
the Visa card.
Yeah, so much like Reebok, this was a bastion of the first four seasons. There used to be a reward in each of the first four seasons where they would go away on a nice little rendezvous and Jeff would go, "Don't worry, guys, it's on me." And he would flash his Visa card. Evidently, that entire reward was bought and paid for by Visa proper.
Okay. All right. There was Jeff Probst's credit card. You would go on a reward and then put it on the Jeff Probst card. And it was almost like the survivors were having so much fun committing fraud and stolen Jeff Probst's identity.
Is it identity theft if you actively say, here's my card, use it?
I don't think you're allowed to. Like, I don't think you're really allowed to just give Pascal your credit card and then have him buy things as you sign. Well, Lex, give a big tip.
Yeah, Lex in Africa was acting like it was his. He was. I watched that when he handed it to the lady. He's like, oh, yeah, here you go. Sure, go ahead and charge it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that Jeff needs to put his card on file and say, those guys are with me. I don't think you're really allowed to give his credit card. But
I love the performative aspect of this one, because like in Africa, they like had the actual credit card machine where they went, and it was like, you know, did the whole carbon copy thing.
Give it to sign.
Yeah, touchstone of the time.
The one thing I also remember is that I believe it's been a fake credit card number every time, but I do recall discussions of people pausing their stuff and be like, I got Jeff Probst's credit card number. Just you
but
wait.
You don't have the three digits on the back.
You could guess it. There are enough three-digit combinations. You know, you get a mathematician on it.
That's a new invention, Jason?
Yeah, I think that was... I don't think the security code was a thing back then.
I don't know.
Wow, things were so frivolous back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. Okay. So, the Visa credit card, any notable uses for it? We know that Lex and Big Tom went on a balloon ride.
Lex and McTom went on a balloon ride. We have the very first one was when Sean went on that yacht trip to see the captain, aka his dad. Tina went on an online shopping spree after she won a reward that we might talk about a little bit later, actually. And then you also talked about, you know, Pascal and Aaliyah's doo-doo mint event with the big tip.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a look at the board and see where we're going to put the Visa credit card. Okay. Jason, how are you feeling about this Visa credit card?
I don't think it's particularly memorable. It was part of Four Seasons, but it was a very small part. I would probably put it in between Sprint and Pringles.
In between Sprint and Pringles, okay. All the way up on the second tier.
Yeah.
I would personally put it at least below Pringles personally. I don't know what it is. I think I remember the Survivor Pringles. If you had told me like, oh, you know, no, there was no way that Jeff Probst had a Visa for the first four seasons, I would be like, yeah, okay, that's fine. But the Pringles are something that definitely sticks out in my mind.
Yeah. The only thing saving it here for me is the fact that it actually says Jeff Probst on the Visa, which is ridiculous. That Mike, I also remember once upon a time you did a podcast with Jordan Parhar talking about the movie Batman and Robin.
Oh, and yes, of course, with the infamous Bat credit card.
Yes, and Batman has a similar credit card to this, right?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought George Clooney and Jeff Probst would be spoken in the same breath? But here we are. I mean, luckily, this is not a Survivor-themed credit card. I actually don't remember if they did Survivor-themed Visas in honor of the occasion. Obviously, Jeff wouldn't have one, but I do wonder if they went that far.
I don't think so. I don't think they have that. I even think it's still too high, the Visa credit card.
You think it ain't no Hershey bar?
I think it's probably lower than Reebok.
Whoa, you're putting it right above Marshall's.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would put it above Reebok because Reebok was only like the Reebok memorability was only really on one season, even though the symbol was pertinent. Like Visa played a part in each one of those four seasons in some way.
Yeah, I don't think they ever uttered the name Reebok in any of the shows.
Okay.
As far as
how
I can remember.
This? That I'll keep it ahead of Reebok, but drop it to that tier.
I can settle on that. I think. Okay.
Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good.
We've settled the bill. Put it on my card.
All right. All right, we're going to step aside real quick from our special Survivor podcast talking about the greatest product placement in Survivor history to tell you about Echelon Fitness products. And we are blessed because the First Lady of Podcasting is here. Huge fitness enthusiast.
Fitness professional.
Yeah. Used to have a website called...
we don't talk about that. Okay.
She loves working out. Yeah. She loves working out. And I thought that she would be the perfect person to talk about today's sponsor, Echelon Fitness Equipment.
Well, Rob, when it comes to getting in shape or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself.
So true. I wish that I would love to be able to hit my fitness goals.
That's why I want to introduce to you Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness.
Oh, then tell me more.
It's the perfect way to get rid of that quarantine 15, gotta say.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Are you saying I've put on a quarantine 15?
It's more like 20.
20?
No, I'm just kidding. No, we've been good. We work out at home.
Yes.
We haven't put on the quarantine 15.
All right.
But anyway, you know from listening to the show that staying in good shape is part of my routine. Echelon can get you there. Did you know that?
No.
Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. You know how I love a tread.
Yeah.
No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home.
I like being in the comfort of home.
We don't leave.
That sounds good to me.
This is perfect. Yes. This is perfect. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. I love on-demand classes. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time.
Yes, from what Nicole has shown me, some of these fitness machines are very pricey.
Some of them can be a bit pricey.
Not at Echelon.
Not at Echelon. And right now, you can try Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days.
30 days. That's almost a whole Survivor season.
So go right now to echelonfit.com/RHAP. That's echelonfit.com/RHAP. Right now.
Nicole, thank you. Thank you so much for dropping some knowledge on us here today.
Well, you know, I love good fitness equipment.
Okay. All right. Nicole, thank you so much. And now back to the list. Mike, what's
Pay
next?
The bill.
All right. Well, let's go to a big one here.
Yeah.
Let's go to the first of our cinematic deep dives in this podcast. And it's a big one, quite literally. I'm talking about Gulliver's Travels, the hit Jack Black, Jason Segel film that was advertised in Survivor Nicaragua.
Okay. All right. This is, of course, very notable. Big reward. First time survivors went on a movie reward. Now, you called it a hit. I'm interested to know, how much did Gulliver's Travels do at the box office?
It looks like it earned back its money and then some. It was a $112 million budget. It made $237.4 million. And I think it might have been that Survivor bump.
Hmm. Yeah. A lot of people say Jack Black's finest movie, Gulliver's Travels.
I mean, that's a bit of a, yeah, screw you, School of
Mike
Rock.
White, my,
screw you,
Mike
and
White,
Elements
my,
Writers.
Have a problem with that.
Kidding. Okay. All right. So, Gulliver's Travel. Boy, what a weird marketing pitch that Jason, is it the ad executives for Gulliver's Travels? Like, okay, we got an idea. How about, what if we built a Survivor reward around this? People like Survivor, right? We can get people to come out and see us. Our movie has nothing to do with Survivor.
Yeah, the thing with these movie rewards was that Jeff always tried to tie the theme of the movie to Survivor.
Which, like, that if you look at the poster, that yeah, tying things to it would be very important.
Well, so Jeff does say, when he describes the reward, he says, the moral of Gulliver's Travels is, it doesn't matter how big you are on the outside, it matters how big you are on the inside, which really could be paired with his lotion talk. But besides that, you know, it's him being like, it's just like you in Survivor. You've lasted this long. You should stick it through. And I mean, it's also ironic that this is the episode where Nyanka and Purple Kelly also quit the game. So evidently Gulliver's Travels was not as much of an inspirational movie as Jeff
Probst.
And if
that's the moral of the story, we really could have had Shallow Hal as well as another product placement here. It doesn't matter what you look like on the outside.
A Jack Black film festival, maybe. King Kong, you know, he's a giant ape. It doesn't matter what you are on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I think more memorable than the movie itself and Nyanka and Purple Kelly quitting was Dan Lembo on that big ass chair swinging his feet around.
So they had a theme challenge around it where they had to, it was the return of Chewy Gal, Rob, in that they had two giant dummies that they would call Gulliver that they had to carry through all of these obstacles. And Dan Lembo did not have to participate, and he got to sit in a giant chair dangling his legs like he's my son in his high chair while he waits for the other team to get there.
You know, just to do a little IMD bags here on Jack Black, is it fair to say that this is, I mean, I'm trying to figure out exactly where Jack Black's film career went wrong, where that at one point in the early 2000s, he's a big box office draw. I guess Gulliver's Travels does end up being a big financial hit, but I don't think that he has another big movie hit after this. I know that people love Jack Black.
I don't know, though. I mean, if you count, like, Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's animated.
I don't count that. I'm counting live action.
It's his voice. It's not like he's a... It's not like the likeness of Jack Black, but he still is playing a role there.
For the record, the sequel to Kung Fu Panda comes out 2011.
Okay, so he was at least getting... Oh, I didn't realize. I thought that Gulliver's Travels was a entire Kung Fu Panda series.
No, Kung Fu Panda, the original one, is all the way back in 2008. Then there's a couple of specials in between then.
And I know that probably the biggest project I think he's been affiliated with lately is the Jumanji reboot series, which has been pretty funny. That has Kevin Hart, who once upon a time advertised his own show on a Survivor finale. So there's some linkage there.
But I think that he's a accessory there.
I think as far as a starring vehicle, he peaked in School of Rock, and that was about it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So not to go too far down the Gulliver's Travels rabbit hole. All right. So here we are. Gulliver's Travels, of course, the iconic image of Dan Lembo sitting in the giant chair. Who could forget?
Yeah, I'm going to put in an argument that I think this might be worth playing for. Now, look, there's going to be another one coming up that I think is more infamous. But like you said, like, you never forget your first. This is ridiculous. I love that they theme the challenge after it, including a giant chair that they had to build just for the sake of this challenge. And while the movie does not bring any sort of like raucous attention that the other film that we're going to talk about might, it does have Benry calling it like, yeah, this is a good flick.
Hey,
and
that's Benry, it's good enough for Benry. It's good enough for you, film critics.
Screw off Roger Ebert. Yeah. I'm listening to Benry.
Jason, Rotten Tomatoes of Gulliver's Travels. What's your prediction?
We talking critics or fans or both?
Okay, give me the critic rating.
Critic, I'm going to go 62.
62.
Oh, that is high.
That seems high.
You think that's high?
Oh, okay. I think it's like 40.
Yeah. I think you are both overshot it. That it's looking like 20?
Whoa.
20, okay.
Hold on. Let me just double check that. My page is taking a little bit of a long time to load on the Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes could be down right now.
Okay. Yes, everyone's rushing now to be like, oh my God, we got to see.
Okay, Gulliver, let's see. All right. Oh, and then they're mad I have my ad blocker on. I'm sorry, okay? You know, if somebody skips the ad on this podcast, I don't say, you can't listen to the rest of this podcast.
But unless you listen to the ad.
If you hit that go forward 15-second button.
Well, Rob,
the point of this podcast, though, is to acknowledge the advertisements that exist in the show. I think it only makes sense that you take down the ad blockers here. It's what would Reebok do?
It's in the spirit of the podcast for you to do it.
Yeah. Let B.B. Anderson come out and yell about this. Okay.
Yeah, actually, B.B. would have been an interesting ad blocker.
Yeah. I only know how to make 7 ads. I don't know how to make 8.
Well, this ad washes out here. You're going to have to move on from this page.
Okay. All right. So this is number one here.
Yeah, I think this is probably one of the most infamous when you think of like, what are some moments, good or bad, of Survivor sponsorship? I think Gulliver's Travels is up there, if only for the Dan Lembo chair, but the actual movie itself not being very good, the IMD Benry of it all.
Yeah.
I just think it's pretty iconic in my opinion.
You got a double quit. Like that's
yeah.
That makes
sense. Yeah, this pushed Nayanka to say, I'm done with this game.
I think she liked the movie.
She wanted to see the movie bad enough that she denied Holly to see the movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I honestly think it wasn't the movie food. I think it was her being like, oh, listen, I want to see Gulliver's Travels.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Little Jason Segel, I'm on board.
33 on the Metascore, I can give you that.
Okay.
And we've never done a movie review of Gulliver's Travels or any other Survivor movies.
We have not. And look, Rob, this is a long and dark off season. I think we might want to take a dive here and get tied down to talk about Gulliver's Travels.
Okay. All right. Gulliver's Travels is in the top tier. All right. Mike, what's next?
All right, let's flip-flap back to the old school here. We're going back to the Australian Outback for some Doritos and Mountain Dew. In episode 6 of Survivor the Australian Outback, Jeff offered a sumptuous picnic for the winning castaways. Little did they know that they would just be winning several bags of Doritos and a bunch of cans of Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had asked Tina Wesson recently about this. Like, did they make you say that, or do you just love Doritos? She loves them. They're her favorite.
Though I think they might have paid Jerry Manthe, who just yells, "Do the do, baby," when Jeff Probst brings out the Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Forgot to ask her that on the recent Talking with T-Bird episode.
Yeah, do you still do the do, Jerry?
Mm. It's better than Big Tom when they get the reward in Africa. He goes, "Remember the do."
So Doritos and Mountain Dew have had a couple of other appearances. Actually, it appears later in the first ever Survivor auction where Nick wins four Doritos for the low... Yeah, for the low, low price of $60.
Four Doritos?
Yep, as Tina says, it's more than $10 a chip. Amber, for $80, wins a glass of Mountain Dew.
Oh my god.
And then she has that reaction and then some, because Jeff gives them a chip and a sip to pass around before the reward, and she freaks out. And as Jason mentions, in Africa, one of the rewards was an all-you-can-eat buffet stocked to the brim with Mountain Dew.
Yeah. In fairness, the glass of Mountain Dew might be the way to go. These people have not eaten. They have nothing in their stomach. That a copious amount of Mountain Dew might be the last thing any human should get in that state.
After the first drop hits your tongue, like, you get a massive headache from this sugar rush.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, give Survivor contestants the same thing we give, like, esports players, you know?
Well, this seems like the perfect reward for those kids from Talladega Nights. I want some Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
They don't want to be like, oh, congratulations, you stood on a perch for, you know, 3 hours. Here's the same thing we gave to this kid who's playing Danganronpa for 6 hours straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe Mountain Dew might be a good reward, like, during a sequester mini.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Hour seven.
We're droning it to your house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. The Doritos and the Mountain Dew. What was the last time they appeared on the show?
So it was that early on, I believe, after season 3. I do not believe nary hide nor hair of Doritos nor Mountain Dew.
Okay.
So I'm not sure why they decided to pull out there, because they were, you know, very prominently featured. Maybe they said, you know what? We went out on top. We had Jerry Manthe, the queen of all Survivor at that point, say, do the do. That's all we need right now. We're going out on top.
Well, Mike, I'm not sure if this is on your list, but they took a big downgrade the season after Mountain Dew, where they had Sierra Mist as their sponsor.
There was Sierra Mist, and then the season after that, Rob, was you with the fridge of Coke. So they definitely went other directions with these soft drink options.
Yeah. I mean, Coke, that's a mainstream sponsor, and they never came back. It must not have been happy with
you guys ruined it.
Roger shutting it down. Okay.
that's Roger, I think, ruined the Coke sponsorship.
Okay. All right. Then the Doritos. Okay. Better or worse than Marshalls?
Better than Marshalls, I think.
Yeah,
I think so.
Better than Marshalls. Yeah, I would definitely put it above Reebok. I put it above Visa. It's dependent. I might put it above Pringles.
Above the Pringles.
I mean, if we're going chip versus chip here, it looks like I think Doritos are going to edge out Pringles right now.
So right now it's below Sprint fan favorite, but ahead of Survivor Pringles. Jason, how do you feel about that?
I would personally put it behind Pringles only because of the Survivor specificity of Pringles, but I'm fine with leaving it there.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll wait until Tina Wesson can say Pringles, because I think that's a pronunciation that's been stuck in our heads for nigh on 20 years.
Okay. All right. Let's leave it where it is. Okay, let's go back to the well, Mike. What do you got?
All right. Well, speaking of well, let's talk about some well drinks, which might be available at one favorite sit-down restaurant of Karishma Patel. We are going to Applebee's.
Applebee's. Okay. Applebee's shows up. It's just in season 39, right?
Yeah, this is the most recent sponsor that we have experienced. Applebee's has made its first appearance in season 39, it was the post-swap reward, and this might be the most cumulative milking I have ever seen of a reward reaction.
I love Applebee's.
Yeah. I remember these contestants, and then when Jeff Probst announced that it was Applebee's, Jason, do you remember how much they all went nuts?
Yeah, I want to know how many takes it took to get the reaction good enough.
Allegedly,
for
they just really wanted. Like, I remember, like, Missy was like, ah.
Yeah, it was like, nuts. Like, they were about to tear Jeff apart for some Applebee's.
Nobody else has ever been as excited for Applebee's.
Yeah, I think even people that have, like, taken a cross-continental flight and landed in the Fiji airport are like, oh, Applebee's, fine. I think the more the reaction is like, okay, I guess
Mike,
I can do Applebee's.
Is there an Applebee's at the Fijian airport?
No, there's definitively not an Applebee's at the Fijian airport, which is why
you're
I'm
new
still...
from experience.
No, which is why I don't know where they got the Applebee's from, because it's authentic food. As Jeff describes, it's loaded sizzling fajitas smothered in hot queso, buffalo wings, spinach artichoke dip, quesadillas, the blue ribbon brownie, but of course the signature drink, one a favorite of teacher Tommy Sheehan, the shark bowl.
Shark
complete,
bowl.
Yeah. Complete bowl. With the gummy shark.
Forgot about the shark bowl.
Yeah, so it's you know, the lavishing praise upon Applebee's does not stop after the description.
It's the hot queso.
When Vokai goes there, they're pouring it on like that hot queso. Yeah. Tommy says this is an experience that he will never forget in his life, specifically not being on Survivor or winning Survivor, specifically going to Applebee's in Fiji.
Okay, here is the Survivors reacting to Applebee's.
It's the biggest reward of the season.
What does that mean?
And we wanted to make it special.
Oh my God. Oh,
so we brought Applebee's to Fiji.
I'm convinced he said something else to make them get their reaction. They cut that together.
I think now someone should Photoshop the Beatles landing at JFK with like the fajita and the quesadilla and the Buffy of the Apple Beatles. Exactly. Because that's the reaction. People were losing their minds over a place you will go after your high school play when your makeup's still caked on your face and like no other places are open and you ask to separate the check 16 ways on Jeff Probst's credit card.
That was pretty early in the season, wasn't it?
It was like episode 5 or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they were missing food that much to be like that crazy over Applebee's.
Yeah. Okay. Applebee's. Now, it only came up once, but it was memorable.
It was very... I mean, this is probably the most memorable reaction to, I think, a product placement we have ever seen. But to your point, how much is that going to buoy its ratings, much like a gummy shark in a bowl of alcohol?
All right. So, Applebee's, okay, certainly more memorable than Marshall's, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be our low water mark from now on.
Yeah.
Reebok.
Above Reebok for me.
Above Reebok, okay. Mm-hmm. Does it beat Visa?
I think so.
It's everywhere you want an Apple Beetle.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, like, when we're looking at our chip pairer here, is how does it pair with the Pringles or with the Doritos and the Mountain Dew?
Well, it was part of the story that Karishma really wanted to go to Applebee's. It was her favorite sit-down restaurant. She did not get to go.
My favorite compliment I have heard someone give someone else in quite some time.
Hmm.
It's like the equivalent of Akiva calling you his favorite Gentile, Rob, but like in an even more specific variety. Like, you're my favorite bearded Gentile, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Does Applebee's cross the chip threshold, Jason?
I'm going to say it does.
Wow. Put it on the other side of the chips.
Because besides Tina, nobody else really seemed too enthused about the Doritos.
Yeah, besides... I mean, Doritos and Mountain Dew is known for, like, the chintziness of it, plus Do the Do Baby and Doritos. But I think the cumulative effect of everyone basically nearly institutionalizing themselves over the idea of eating Applebee's appetizers in Fiji is just so unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Can it beat Sprint?
Oh, that's tough because Sprint has so much lasting value and there are a lot of Sprint moments, right? Like Jason talked about, like in Heroes versus Villains, them taking pictures at those spurting geysers, like so many family moments around it. So I do feel like Applebee's is, for lack of a better term, like a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. And I think that that Sprint is more of like a nice saute or a marinade.
Okay. All right. Can we say eating good in the neighborhood? Is that them?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they still have that phraseology.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on over at Applebee's.
feel like these are hard times at Applebee's so far.
Yeah, I think that's
they
the thing.
They might have peaked in 2019.
I do not think they're a sit-down restaurant anymore.
I don't think Applebee's is in the restaurant tier where I'm risking, you know, COVID to go to.
Yeah, I don't think you want to... Don't risk getting a COVID for your shark bowl. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Mike, what is next?
Let's go a bit outside the box here. Outside the bun, unfortunately. No Taco Bell sponsorship yet in Survivor. So I'm going to go with the internet.
The internet is a sponsor?
We're going to Survivor the Australian Outback. It's a reward to Fix Wish, and a reward I mentioned before. Do you remember the Australian Outback Internet Cafe?
Yes, of course.
So the final five were given the opportunity to chat with their loved ones on what was very clearly AOL. They couldn't show anything on what was very clearly a big-ass iMac that they couldn't necessarily show. So I can't really say that it's like it's putting forward the brand of AOL or, you know, or Apple. But I feel like the concept of the internet is just so new and has never been done again in Survivor, of allowing people to essentially chat their family online during a Survivor season, that I feel like it might earn its way in here.
Okay. All right. Jason, do you have any strong feelings about that? What is the sponsor here?
I guess I'll go with the internet.
The internet.
The internet is a sponsor.
Mm.
So in defense of it, it was a memorable moment. Like, I went to go research for this podcast, yes, and I could have sworn that AOL was a sponsor of this, but they're nowhere mentioned or anything like that. So it is memorable for sure. Definitely for Tina talking to her family, and like you see like Katie, like,
yeah,
like in like 10 years, she's going to be on the show with her mom.
And Keith proposes to his girlfriend.
Yeah. Yes. Peas and carrots.
But he's also like the world's slowest typer. And he's like,
See, again, this is why I feel like the internet is a sponsor, because the internet was so new to people that like Tina's husband types in all caps like he's an egg person on Twitter.
Like why are you shouting? You don't do that anymore.
Why are you shouting?
They already had this big ass like satellite dish like next to the little hut. I'm not sure if that was practical or not, but I don't know if they just had that as set dressing.
Okay. So I would say that this is memorable, but not as product placement.
I mean, yeah, technically not a product placement. It is, I guess, unintentionally advertising this brand new marvel that was the internet in early 2001.
So that's going to make this very difficult to place on our list, because it doesn't go here.
Listen, okay. I had to bring in a couple of Dave Matthews here just to throw you off your trail here, Rob.
All right. Well, this is look, that I appreciate it being here, and I think that that'll be the challenge. So, is the computer that wasn't a sponsor more iconic than Marshall's? I think it is.
Oh, we have a new benchmark for lowest.
Yeah, I think the Marshall's line.
I think it's better
than
Marshall's.
I think Marshall's is the line that you have to sort of step over if you want to make like barely competent in terms of product placement. And I would agree, because again, it had some moments in here, despite the fact that there was no technical product placement. So I guess boo on Marshall's for actually failing at their intended product placement when an unintentional product placement works better than theirs does.
Whatever,
really
this was
up,
a commercial
you're
for.
Really effed up.
Yeah, this is a better commercial for it.
Actually, this would be a great commercial, right? Of like someone lost on an island proposing to their girlfriend on an iMac, typing one letter a minute.
Especially in 2001.
Yeah. Who is Elizabeth chatting with? Her family?
Elizabeth's chatting her family. Maybe
not Tim Hasselbeck?
No, I don't believe she has slid into Tim Hasselbeck's AOL DMs yet. Mm-hmm. No, you've got mail notifications for Tim Hasselbeck. He's got some games to play.
Okay. All right. Then, is it better than Reebok? It's more memorable, but it's not a product. There's the rub.
Put it above Reebok. I'm above Reebok.
Okay. All right.
All right. Can it be better than Visa?
I don't think it's better than Visa. I would leave it right where you got it.
Mike, yeah. What do you feel?
I feel like they actually used the Visa for the internet shopping spree that Tina won, that made her husband type in all caps, I'm assuming, even right. further.
So it can't surpass the actual prize for the challenge.
Actual sponsor right,
the secondary effect cannot pass the primary effect.
Yeah. All right.
We can't let the service go above the product.
Need the computer for the e-commerce. Can't have the computer go ahead of the credit card.
Do you think if they had this reward in like 2018, 2019, there would be like some sort of Bitcoin stuff going on with people using the internet?
Boy, I don't know if Bitcoin really was getting used to buy a lot of things.
Maybe that would have inspired Fire tokens even earlier than it did.
Yeah, Bitcoin is a little bit like the Fire tokens of currency of like, sure, I guess so. They seem valuable.
Don't worry. I'll hoard them. These might pay off someday. Oh, they don't? Okay. I guess I'll give them to somebody else now.
Yeah.
You probably needed that credit card to buy that iMac, because that thing probably costs like $5,000 back in 2001.
This thing is the size of their camp, it looks like. Like, it looks like Keith. It's like 2.5 Keith heads tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They turned it into the Boston Rob statue, I think, eventually. It was in the prop department. Eventually, they said, okay, let's just put some plaster over this iMac.
Exactly. Well, if we had this lying in the back for a while, I think we could make a giant 25-foot statue out of this iMac.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the IO iMac. Okay. All right. There we go. What's next, Mike?
All right, let's go back to our department stores here, and we'll see if this clears the Marshall's Meridian that seems to be the first Marshall's place to start. Meridian. We're going to Sears. Now, Sears has had a pretty profound effect on a few Survivor seasons. First, it was a reward in Season 20. They had to pick through the Sears catalog and not the one that lets Mo Sizlak go crazy with the ogling he does of women in there. I believe the villains got to pick out some items in a big-ass crate that they took with them the entire time. But Sprint is more pertinently known for the fact that during seasons 21 and 23, there was a Sears casting contest that got two contestants on those seasons.
Yes. I know one was Jimmy T in Survivor Nicaragua. Who was the second person?
That would be Rick Nelson, the cowboy himself.
Oh, yeah, they nailed it. Ooh. They were nailing it over at Sears.
So yeah, let me see. I found the press release, actually, because this is the first ever Survivor casting call contest. And you weren't guaranteed a spot. Basically, you submitted your tape, and then the top 10 selected videos would be open to the general public for a vote. And then the winner would be flown to Los Angeles to audition for a spot on the show. So not even a guaranteed seat on those tribes. You were basically guaranteed to get an audition in front of the producers.
Okay. All right.
Those guys were the Sears of Survivor contestants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the now-defunct Sears, their spot on Survivor Heroes vs. Villains, even in an iconic season, was not enough to keep the doors open over at Sears.
Yeah, maybe if the Heroes had won it, people would have been more spirited. Like, well, the Heroes used Sears products. Like, oh, those rascally villains, never mind.
Okay. I feel like that they are more iconic for the contest, Jason, than the actual reward. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I didn't really even recall the Sears in the episodes before Mike said it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd probably put it pretty low.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the board. Let's go to the big board and check out what's going on here. All right. Sears, is it better than Marshall's? Does it cross the Marshall's Meridian?
I think it does. Listen, the fact that Sears has actually had I do think it's going to be... This is going to be substantially impacted by the fact that Sears has had a hand in casting, you know, two people across two seasons. That does say something. Say what you want to about future Malcolm and Rick Nelson, but the fact that their appearances on Survivor the TV show are because of Sears needs to be acknowledged here.
Okay. All right. Jason, are they better than the Reebok sneakers, which you could buy at Sears?
I would say no.
No.
Mm.
That's what I would say.
Mike, how do you feel?
I think it's better. I don't know. I would put in...
They gave us Jimmy T.
They gave us Jimmy T. I would
you
put in...
That. That's true.
I might be so bold as to put it in My Life is Fine. Because I just think...
You would jump it up and tell us, slow down.
Jeez.
Well, let me also read that are not Josh, that that Rick and Jimmy T were not the only people that were put on the cast or found, I would say, from the Sears casting call. Two other people from Survivor South Pacific. Would you like to warn a guess as to who those two people are?
Elise.
No, Elise Umamoto was not from Sears.
Let's see. Was it Brandon Hance? Like somebody ordered Russell Hance out of the Sears catalog?
He was just roaming around empty Sears after it was closed.
Yeah, he was the last one in the warehouse. And so like, all right, I guess send out the Brandon Hance. No. And listen, Survivor Wiki might be lying to me here, in which case I have egg all or dew all over my face. Apparently, Papa Bear, It's Real, It's Happening, was cast through Sears. And so was Sophie G. Clark.
What? Oh. Sophie was not cast from Sears.
I don't know.
You want me to text her right now?
I want you to text Sophie right now and ask, okay, were you cast through the Sears?
I'm going to text Sophie Clark. I don't know. Okay. All right. All right. This is random.
I think we're about to get a new phone. Who does? Yeah.
Right, or just an Insta block.
But we're... You cast on, so I'm gonna get blocked for this. Were you cast on Survivor through the Sears casting contest?
And we shall find out. This is, I guess, a Survivor mystery.
So I'm like, what exactly did they have to do for this Sears contest?
They had to do like a miniature version of a typical Survivor video where they had to give a 30 to 60 second video of themselves explaining why they think they could win Survivor.
As Sears execs had like a in at Survivor, like you should put these guys, at least audition these guys.
Yeah, so it's a weird sort of alternate path, right? Because it's like, okay, would you rather make a 2 minute video or I guess a 30 second video that could give you a larger pop via Sears, but also it's only 30 seconds. It is like 1/6 the amount of time that you would usually get in an audition video.
Assuming Sophie did actually come from Sears, you think Sears has tried to like claim her win as a last grasp at like
we
legitimacy?
Did it. Look at what Sears did on to Survivor.
Sophie, will you be in our Sears commercial, please?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's see. We'll see if we get an update on that. All right. So for me, I could put them ahead of the sneaker, but I think they're still behind the fake computer.
I guess.
Does the Sophie answer affect your ranking?
Well, if we get an answer, it might affect it.
All right. We shall see.
We'll come back if we get an answer.
I don't know.
Sophie.
Now I'm reading the Dalton Ross Meet the Cast, and he says here as well that Mark Anthony Caruso and Sophie G. Clark were found through Sears.
Sophie applied to be through Sears?
So this is why the series needs to continue for these hard-hitting scoops about how people got cast on Survivor. Move over Sierra and the taco truck from Survivor Token Jeans. Here comes Searsy G. Clark.
I
think Sophie looked at Rob's text like, oh my god, I've been found out.
Okay, we'll see. Let's see if we get an update on that. She might just delete my number after that. Okay, all right, let's see. We'll come back to that.
All right, well, see, so yeah, well, this is TBD
Sears.
For now.
Okay.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, I might have to move it up if it produced a Survivor.
I hate Sears. That I feel like when I was a kid, my parents used to go there. It was so boring. The only thing that was good about it was that there was a McDonald's there. It'd be
in
so boring.
Sears?
In Sears. That would be like the highlight of the, you know, my childhood is not a happy story. It is a lot of just that I have nothing to do and my parents taking me to all these department stores and I'm being so bored, wandering around aimlessly, and then get to go to McDonald's.
I got a Sears gift card like 4 years ago for Christmas for my mom.
Yeah.
I never went to go like
claim
it. She
got some tires or something before they went out of business.
Yeah, I looked at it like, what is this? Like, why would I ever go
it's
to
the
Sears?
Worst store.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess the thing is, though, I mean, they had more of an impact than Marshall's, which is why they're past the Meridian, right? Because like, while I wouldn't say that Sears is known for its, I guess it's staffing. If that's apparently what Sears has had its impact on in Survivor, it has at least provided more utility and more long-lasting
memories.
Not
as much as that iMac.
Apparently not. Yeah, lots of durability on the iMac as well. I think you could drop that thing off of a Sears and it would probably still be okay to use to talk to peas.
Okay. All right. Mike, what else do we have?
All right. Let's go, let's tackle a big topic here. So obviously cars have been a huge part of Survivor's first 14 seasons. I'm going to hone in on one in particular, but we could sort of use it as sort of like a marker for cars in general. But I got to go with season two. Before Walter White, there was Colby Donaldson and his Pontiac Aztec.
Love the Pontiac Aztec. And you say season two, that Richard Hatch won a Pontiac Aztec as well in season one.
Oh, right. I remember they shot the alternate endings, right? Where like they got out of the car, they got out of the airport and they sat in the car and they're like, wow, I'm looking at my $1 million check and my new Pontiac Aztec.
Can't believe it. I won. I've got a Pontiac Aztec. And Jason, do you remember what the selling point is about the Pontiac Aztec?
Yes, you could turn the back into a tent. We could, have a great tent night with your mommy.
Yes. Well, that's for Colby. And you know what? I was like, wow, I am a Survivor fan. I live with my parents. This is perfect for me. I should have this car.
Wait, so you're going to live out of your car? Was that like the selling point of now I can finally do it without feeling that pathetic?
Okay.
It'll look official.
No. Well, I thought, Mike, and I'm like, that in my head, I'm like, well, like, I'd like to date at some point, but I live with my parents. Maybe I felt like that this was like a moving apartment on wheels. Like, I wasn't going to live in the car.
If the Aztecs are rocking, go dumb and not kid.
This was how my 21-year-old brain worked.
Well, I mean, I think if you were to take a honey home, they might just stop at the back of the car because it has the most garish looking back I have ever seen in a vehicle in which
about the women that I used to know, Mike.
no offense. The actual back of the Pontiac Aztec is horrifically angular. And it's
the ugliest car ever.
It is absolutely terrible. And you could tell, again, this is Colby, similar to what Jerry did. You know, this is a guy that knows what it's like to make is trying to make a name for himself on TV. So he is selling the crap out of this Pontiac Aztec. He's like, wow, look at that interior. And I think he has a confessional where he says, like, these are some of the neatest amenities a car has ever had. He specifically hypes up the idea of a speaker system in the back of the car. So you could, listen to some books on tape while you fall asleep in your tent.
Yeah. And it also is featured prominently through Breaking Bad. So I think that helps make it more iconic.
Yes. The only car of meth dealers in Albuquerque.
Yes. Okay. All right. So I have some updates from Sophie Clark.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Okay. So Sophie Clark has gotten back to me about this info. And here's what she had to say. She says that I was not chosen as top 10, but yes, that was how I applied and how they originally contacted me.
Oh my God, Sears!
And I asked her, well, so Sears didn't like you enough, but casting did. She says, correct, Papa Bear 2.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm going to write back to her. This is exactly why they're out of business.
Bad judgment on their part. We should have seen it coming when they decided to push forward Rick Nelson above a Sophie G. Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Really, Rick held it over her head during the whole, like, the whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got chosen, you didn't, so.
Yeah, and then she got the last laugh. Like, who's laughing now? Who's got more money than Sears has right now as its net worth?
All right. So
we got to go back to the board here, because now I think we have to replace Sears and also sort the Pontiac Aztec.
I'm going to put them lower down that they didn't pick Sophie.
They had a winner. They were the introduction to a winner in this series.
Yeah. They didn't even have her in the top 10.
But she got on in spite of Sears, though. Yeah. Like, Sears didn't even want to push her forward.
So are they below the Meridian? Is that what you're saying?
You might have to put them below Marshalls for this injustice.
Drop them down.
Wow, Sears is last.
Yeah.
I think your anti-Sears rhetoric is coming out right now, gentlemen.
I could put them ahead of Marshalls. Like, I could split the difference, but they're behind the shoe, at least for me.
I'd be fine with that.
Okay, all right. All right, go ahead,
let's move them up. They're better than Marshalls,
okay.
At least.
All right. I think the Aztec is going to go on a little bit of a ride here.
Yeah, I think we're gonna drive past St. Norbert Park. Again, I'm gonna make the suggestion to put it in. I'm gonna make a suggestion to put it in My Life Is Fine, but I don't know how you guys feel.
Just barreling through all the competition.
Not a good transmission on the internet, Aztec, yeah. According to your sound effects.
I think Christmas is driving this Aztec.
Oh, no. Okay.
All right. It's up. Is it better than the Pringles?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's better than the Pringles.
It was the prize in the first two seasons.
Yeah, which I think it's better than the Doritos as well.
Okay. Applebee's.
Colby's reaction was a little less than the yeah. Castaways about Applebee's.
Yeah, even Richard Hatch is like, wow, I can't believe it.
Wow.
Is this Pontiac Aztec representing all the cars?
Yeah, I guess that's a good question, because I think that, or I guess I should ask, are there any other cars that stick out in your minds? Because I think this is the most memorable car. Yeah. Probably not the most memorable
More
car
memorable
situation.
Than Matthew von Ertfelde's Saturn Ion.
Yes, RIP, the Saturn Ion.
Yeah. Saturn is the sprint of car manufacturers.
For the cars, I think the Cindy in Guatemala really sticks out for me too, shafting her fellow castaways from getting a car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Man Dreams car.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was the Ford truck.
Was it a Ford?
Yeah, I think it was a Ford Super Duty truck, I believe.
Yeah. But to me, I think the Aztec is super memorable.
Are you moving it up to worth playing for?
I don't know. I don't know if it's better than Sprint.
I would put it ahead Sprint, but not up into the top tier.
What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. I feel like the Pontiac Aztec is more memorable, but Sprint's had such more of an effect. Okay.
Yeah,
on
Mike
the show.
Was able to rattle off all those Sprint fan favorites, like sure. Arya Stark off the top of his head. So
yeah, I have that list running in through my head.
James Clement.
That's how he puts himself to sleep every night.
Okay. All right. I'm good with that. Let's go back to what's still in the bag.
All right. Well, we're getting a little thirsty here and you haven't had enough Mountain Dew. How about some 7-Up, gents?
When did 7-Up get given to Survivor Castaways?
Rob, how little you remember the 7-Up Oasis from Survivor One World, but more memorably, that season, the 7-Up Originals commercials.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
And
yes.
I actually have one for you that I found online. Parvati Shallow did a spot out of a Survivor Originals commercial. So if you just want to taste a little sip of what it was like to be a fan during 2012 in Survivor One World, this really was the thirst we had in the Oasis or the desert that was Survivor One World. We needed a drink of something.
Let's see what went on the 7-Up Originals commercial here from Survivor 24.
Originals presented by 7-Up.
I'll never forget that one tribal council in Heroes versus Villains. Jeff asked if anyone had a hidden immunity idol, and I started handing them out. One to Jerry and one to Sandra. Everyone's mouths dropped. JT was sent packing, and I eventually made it to the final three.
Be yourself. Be refreshing. Be 7-Up.
Yeah, beats the heck out of the Amazing Race connection. What are the E?
Singular. Consumer Cellular.
Consumer US Cellular. Yeah, moments consumer of cellular. Connection. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Parvati's coming on being like, when William and Kate married last year.
Marriage? Yeah. Okay. So I guess those were iconic. I don't remember the 7-Up Oasis.
No, that was a brief reward that they took. They had a nice chest, which actually the picture for the thing here, full of, yeah, we're not talking about Kat Ederson, full of 7-Up bottles on ice. And that they had a nice little trip away where everyone was hanging out. They brought a big chest back. But yeah, I think it's more pertinent for the 7-Up commercials. And specifically, Rob, I remember that's when I started listening to Rob Has a Podcast. And you had a day and a half with the 7-Up original song, complete with its own theme song that you made up.
Yeah. I think that we did some fake ones also.
Yeah, you definitely, you had Billy Garcia do one.
Yeah, that's one to find somewhere along the way. Yeah, I got him at the reality rally. I had like a portable audio recorder and I got Billy Garcia to do his own 7-Up original. Okay. All right. Is it better than Marshall's?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I remember about the 7-Up is just the placement in the episode. While, like, they're, because Kim and Sabrina are, like, scheming throughout that reward.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see, like, Kim is talking. You just see his big-ass bottle of 7-Up, like, in the foreground. And just Kim talking in the background.
Smart.
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as ranking, yeah, put it above Marshall's.
Okay. What about Sears?
I think it might be below Sears.
Below Sears. Sears.
Has 7-Up produced a winner?
But they produce commercials.
Sears didn't produce a winner either. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep saying that. They turned down a winner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A winner was spiting them.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think,
is
Rob?
Is this where we're good? 7-Up is one better than Marshall's?
I would think so. And I think the commercials are honestly the only thing that's keeping it above Marshall's. Because remember,
yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know. Because like, which would you rather have, the 7-Up Originals commercials or Jeff Probst's sultry description of the Marshall's Lounge?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have the commercials.
I'm actually very surprised that the poverty commercial was not of Eric Reichenbach giving up the immunity necklace.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was one with Suri that did that, or Amanda Kimmel.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's leave it where it is. All right. Let's go back to the bullpen. What's coming out next?
All right. We're going from the bullpen to the BM. We're talking Charmin.
By God, that's the Charmin Shack's music.
Yeah, so Charmin has popped up actually in a few places. Most prominently, it was the Casa de Charmin in Survivor Exile Island, where the Kasaya tribe won basically an indoor outhouse with a shower and toilet paper and bunch of soap and a back scrubber. But there also was the Charmin Tea House in Survivor China, where Jean Robert was really creepy with everyone sitting in the tubs, and the Charmin Cafe in Survivor Tokenshin. So I would say that I think Charmin's sponsorship levels peaked during its first instance, mainly because of Bobby Bob Dog Mason's involvement with the Casa de Charmin. And
that was way back when toilet paper needed to advertise before it sold itself here in 2020.
Yeah, I think that Casa de Charmin might be someone's like fallout shelter in 2020. You could get in there. Actually, I think Bob Dog and Bruce surrounded by toilet paper and wine is a very 2020 mood, to be quite honest. Yeah.
Every dollar on toilet paper advertising was a complete waste in 2020. Sold itself. Okay. All right. Jason, how do you feel about the Casa de Charmin, the multiple iterations?
I like I've liked all the Charmin spots we have in the Survivor lexicon. I would put it, where would I put it? I'd definitely put it above Marshall's, above Sears. Yeah, about there.
You feel probably good,
above,
you feel good about
above internet.
Yeah. Mike, it's always a weird thing to pitch on Survivor. Survivors have no toilet paper. I guess they make a big deal about it. I don't know.
I think it's a big creature comfort. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit high on this. I'm thinking it's worth playing for, personally.
Really?
Well, you want to put it at the top tier.
I mean, listen, the Casa de Charmin is iconic. In my perspective, you have, not only do you have Bob Dog needing to take a break, wanting to break it in by dropping a deuce in front of everybody, T-minus 2 minutes after they got it, but you also have him and Bruce camped out on it at night, slugging down
the wine
that they want.
Sure.
I can't see putting it above Sprint. Like, I feel like right after Sprint is the highest I would put it.
I think it should even be behind the Aztec. It's absurd. I mean, it's memorable, but I don't know if it's iconic.
I mean, I think it's a microcosm of how cartoony Survivor Exile Island is as a season, that an outhouse serves as the source of such drama. And maybe that sort of serving as a representation has buoyed my tastes a bit. I do think it belongs, at least in this My Life is Fine tier. But
we're not saying get it out of the tier.
But I don't know. I think it belongs definitely along the realms of Sprint or the Aztec. I just don't know where it falls among that. I would put it above the Aztec, at least, personally.
Okay. Jason, do you have a strong argument to where it should be here?
I would put it after the Aztec, I think, because I think the Sprint and Aztec, which is kind of representing all cars on Survivor, were memorable staples of the show at one point.
Yeah. The Aztec, I mean, it was the prize for the first show. I mean, we have the memorable moment of Colby with his mom sleeping in the Aztec, which was a, you know, cultural moment. People talked about Colby sleeping in the car with his mom for months in the year 2001. I think that the Bruce and Bob Dog drinking in the Charmin shack was funny, but I don't know if it was iconic.
It was kind of a blip on the radar at the time, I think.
I think it's also considering all the other craziness that ensued in Kasaya. I guess it is sort of a blip on the radar, but I will concede. But I do think that, look, I think it's also one of our only sponsors that it produced three different edifices. We got a cafe, we got a tea house, and we got a cafe out of it. So, you know, they weren't just throwing Charmin at people. They were really trying to build entire facilities around this idea of Charmin, and I think that's high praise.
Yeah. Now Charmin has just gone all in with the animated bears.
Yeah, yeah. The My Heinie's Clean song has definitely been one that's been sung around our household many a time.
That's a
jingle? Every time I go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. The bear, the little bear comes walking out, like, commending his butt-wiping job by going, "My Heinie's clean. Oh, yeah, it's Charmin clean." And he's gloating about it like he just won the GD lottery.
Wow. Okay. Let me see. This is not one that I am familiar with, but let's see. Okay. This is not a commercial for us.
I'm not picking it up. You pick it up.
I'm not picking it up.
Well, somebody's got to pick it up.
I'll pick it up. They're clean. Cuz my hand is clean. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm jealous of Mama Bear and Papa Bear.
Yeah. I also didn't mention that basically what the baby bear is saying is, don't worry, this bear underwear does not have my skid marks in it because I've wiped my ass with Charmin.
But the bear doesn't even wear clothes. Why would the underwear have skid marks?
Whose underwear are these?
Whose underwear poop are these? Is it dirt?
Are we supposed to believe that the Charmin bears are actually wearing clothes that are the same color as them and they just sort of like fit over them? I mean, that the underwear he's holding are the same as like his white belly and
I didn't realize it was flesh colored.
Listen, maybe these aren't actual bears. Maybe these are people in bear costumes and they have underwear on under their costumes.
Okay.
Which would make sense why you'd be like, oh, I don't want to touch that. Ralph's been standing there for 8 hours wearing his bear costume. I don't want to touch that underwear. And that's why he's saying, no, my hiney's clean.
All right. So there you go. All right. Rudy didn't need any Charmin toilet paper in Survivor Borneo, that he was ready to use the Bible.
Use the Bible, yeah. My Bible's clean.
You know, the only reason I could see to bring some Charmin out there would be, to use for toilet paper. Okay. All right. Let's see what else you got, Mike.
All right. Well, so you probably think like, okay, let's actually stay in the bathroom, because once upon a time, castaways were given the ability to build a bathroom using supplies from our next sponsor, the Home Depot.
Okay, all right. Home Depot is going to make a few stops on Survivor, correct?
Yeah, so it appeared in seasons 8 and 10. This is one of the sponsors that, Rob, you have firsthand experience with. You were there for the, I feel like this might be a Sears thumbs down now from Rob as a result.
Yep.
But yeah, there was a shelter building challenge in Survivor All-Stars, and then in Survivor Palau, James got my stuff, as well as all the other
stuff,
as well as all the other tools to build a bathroom to satisfy one of the production consultants on Survivor.
Okay. All right. So the Home Depot challenge. Yes, I remember it well. Back when myself, Boston Rob, Big Tom, and Alicia Calloway were working on putting together a shelter. And then I got in trouble because I wasn't doing enough stuff. I didn't have anything to do. And then I was also getting in trouble for not doing enough stuff.
Weren't you laying down the rocks in the path? I seem to recall that was like one thing you were bequeathed with.
No, where I got in trouble was that, you know, I was supposed to be like just like gathering stuff. Like Rob and Tom were doing everything. Like there was no like, so I was just like a helper, and I went to go get like a shipping pallet that I had seen elsewhere on the island, and then I like ended up like taking too long to go and bring it back. And I didn't, you know, clear that with my supervisor, and it was looked at as I was on like a coffee break. What are you gonna
do? You were goofing off.
Big mistake. I should have sat that challenge out. All right. So could have really taken a coffee break. All right. That being said, the Home Depot challenge is iconic.
It is iconic. It was a big part of those two seasons, narratively speaking. It is. For my mark, I think one of the bright spots of Survivor All-Stars, namely the Saboga log cabin with Rupert and poor Rafa. He did not like going down. And then, of course, Oolong, just the pure hubris on James's part to just all go down in flames or down the toilet that they just built in trying to craft an outhouse.
Okay. Yep. I think it's better than Marshall's.
Mm-hmm.
Better than 7-Up.
Yep.
I think better than Sears.
Yes.
It's better than Reebok.
I think it's better than Reebok. I think it's two for two. It produced two entertaining challenges from my perspective. I think that has to put it at least pretty far up there.
Is it?
I'd put it above Applebee's.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. I was going to jump up a little bit.
I would agree with this, actually.
That's not really even a sponsor of anything. Better than Visa.
Yeah, okay, so I would put it.
Better than the service of the internet.
Yeah, I think Applebee's produced like one, like, off the wall but really fun moment, and Home Depot produced two off the wall really fun challenges. So okay. I think just by the numbers, it has to be at least above Applebee's.
Mike, I think both Home Depot and Charmin have lasting effects on their seasons because you still like see the product throughout the season.
Yeah, Mike, do you think it could be better than your beloved Casa Charmin?
I mean, listen, you know what I'm going to answer. I guess it's going to come down to the two of you. I still feel like the Casa de Charmin is a moment I enjoy more and think about more than sort of the Home Depot. All I repeat at night is thinking about the Casa de Charmin while I repeat the names of the Sprint fan favorites in my head. Yes. So I'm fine
with
the Home Depot here.
Just built your own Casa Charmin that you sit in at nighttime.
Exactly. But I would love to hear what you guys think as to, because I think this goes below the Aztec no matter what. It just depends if it's above the Charmin or not.
I think this feels right. Jason, how do you feel?
I'm good with this right
so
here.
So it's below Casa Charmin but above Applebee's. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. All right. What else you got, Mike?
Well, I'm assuming at this point in the podcast, we're getting a bit peckish. You may want a Snickers before you get too angry. Snickers has made one old and one new appearance on Survivor. So the old is a king-size Snicker was a reward during the kite flying challenge in Survivor Marquesas.
That's right. One candy bar.
Yes, that Jeff Probst sliced into 9 little slices, and he accidentally seductively fed to Zoe Xanadakis, that she bit out of his hand like a giraffe or something. And then in Survivor 30, it popped back up when they had like the big candy reward, and Mike Holloway just went on and on about how much he loves Snickers.
Yes. Okay. All right. Is it better or worse than a Baby Ruth?
I mean, listen, if you ask certain patrons, that's a point of contention. But evidently, according to Mike Holloway, you do the happy dance for that Snickers no matter what.
Okay. All right. So a Snickers bar, Jason. All right. Where does this end up moving the needle for you?
Not really. You know, besides the Mike interaction with the Snickers, the you know, who was it? Kathy went in the Marquesas and brought it back for the rest of the tribe. Not really doing a lot for me. I think it's better than Marshall's. I think it's around the 7-Up area to be for me.
Yeah. I remember Dan did not eat a lot of the candy. He was like bragging about that, about how he was only going to drink water.
Yeah. For some reason, all I remember was him holding an M&M between his thumb and forefinger and sucking it in. As some sort of, I don't know, some sort of sideshow act that he was trying to show off to everybody.
He's a talented guy. Yeah.
A man of many talents, many interesting talents. I would definitely put it above Marshall's, but yeah, I might honestly put it below 7-Up because I think the commercials, the 7-Up originals to me are more entertaining inherently than Zoe's 50 Shades of Snickers.
Yeah. If anything, it was just hilarious when Kathy won a Snickers bar for a reward challenge.
Yeah, and that speaks to, again, like, it goes back to the four Doritos that Nick won in the Survivor Australia auction, right? Like, how stingy they were with the food back in those days.
Well, the Kathy one was so weird because it was like, you get this big excursion and a Snickers bar.
Like, okay. Yeah, one Snickers bar.
Yeah.
All right.
Makes me wonder if there was actually, like, a sponsorship or if they, like, found one at craft services. They're like, throw something in here.
Yeah. It was also a lame challenge in the shit to fly a kite.
Yeah, it really did feel like a challenge out of Survivor. Like, this is something you would do when you're like 7 years old and you're with Mary Poppins, right? Like, go fly a kite and then eat a Snickers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically it's like out of it. College Survivor of today's challenge is flying a kite and the winner will win a Snickers bar. All right, Mike, what else we got?
All right, we got a few left here. What if I were to tell you that one of the sponsors of Survivor that was shown as their Survivor reward was Survivor itself.
Okay, tell me about it.
At the final five of Survivor Borneo, Kelly Wigglesworth won a bottle of Budweiser, but that was not enough. She was given a trip to the Survivor bar and got to watch the first 5 minutes, the first act of the very first episode of Survivor proper.
Okay. All right. Memorable moment, but was this product placement? If I recall, I feel like that the actual sponsor here was Bud Light. And that this was, I feel like that even when we, at that Survivor 40 like preseason panel that Dalton Ross hosted, Jeff Probst told the story about how the survivors like were ready to mutiny over the reward was going to be a Bud Light. And they needed to come up with something on the fly to make it more interesting that they were mad that they said, what? We're not playing for just a Bud Light, right. But it's a Bud Light and a chance to watch 15 minutes of the show.
Right. So couldn't you say that the key thing that made this reward salvageable was the advertisement of Survivor itself?
So I think that that was a reward. I don't know if it was a product placement to sell Survivor to people already watching Survivor.
It was a product placement for those people in that bar.
Mm-hmm. They weren't even real people. They were crew members. They were working on Survivor.
Right, and they got advertised the show that they're going to be watching.
All right. Let's see.
You could be eating a Snickers and watch a Snickers commercial. Advertising can be circular.
Okay. This would be like you were on the set of a Snickers commercial and they were trying to like entice you to buy Snickers on the set.
I mean, I would not be surprised if that ended up happening.
So I did watch this episode recently.
Yes.
And it was like, the scene itself was memorable because they blindfolded Kelly and brought her into this bar, like double blindfolded her. Like that in itself was memorable. Like, I don't know why they needed to do that.
Because it was the production facility. So they just
like,
took,
sneak out of camp.
It was the hotel they were all stationed at.
They put a blindfold on her and like spun around the boat like five times and brought her back to like where they already were.
Mark so Burnett actually talks about it in his book. It really is, to Rob's point, it was a last minute scramble where they're like, oh, I guess one bottle of beer didn't suffice after Sean got a yacht trip and Jeff Probst's personal credit card. Okay, there's a Survivor bar that exists. And quick, cut the first 15 minutes of the first episode that we can screen for peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
Something else about those early rewards, Jeff really loved to horn himself in on these rewards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would go with everybody, like, go in their truck, go in their yacht, like. It sounds like fun. Let me go with you.
One screen time.
Yeah, it was a weird thing where Jeff sat down with Kelly. He's like, yeah, so how you doing in the game right now? It's like a weird sort of like parent-teacher conference And mm-hmm. like you, and as you alluded to, Jason, in the Pontiac Aztec reward, part of it was that Jeff got to share a meal with Colby, which must have been music to Jeff Probst's ears at that point to be able to sit down with Colby in the middle of the game.
Okay.
You're a really cool dude.
All right. So Survivor itself, better than mm-hmm. Marshall's.
It's interesting. Is this going to fall below Marshall's?
I think so. I think it's better than Marshall's.
You think it's better than Marshall's?
I think it's better than Marshall's.
Yes.
I think Marshall's stays as the low line.
Pamper yourself with lotions.
Lotions.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's better than Marshall's. It's better than a Snickers bar.
I think the scene of going to the bar was better than the Snickers.
More memorable. Okay. Yeah.
Better right, than let me shoot it all the way up here to season one. Is it better or worse than Reebok?
Yeah, I think that's where it is. I would say, Jason,
I would put it under
feel?
Reebok. I put it under Reebok.
Under Reebok?
Yeah.
Mike, do you agree?
Yeah, I might be coerced to put it above Reebok.
But it's not better than the fake computer.
It's yeah, exactly. We might as well pair the two not sponsors together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay. All right, wait, so do you think that they should be touching? Should they be with Survivor and the fake computer?
I think so. Let's have their brothers right now.
Okay. All right. They are locked. Ultimate bromance of a computer that's not a commercial for anything and an episode of Survivor that's not a commercial for an episode of Survivor.
Oftentimes, the best commercials are ones that aren't, Rob.
Okay.
Chew on that, like a Snickers.
All right. Mike, what else is out there?
We're going Jack and Jill. It's finally happened. Okay. Like the Sword of Damocles. It's been hanging, or Sword of Damascus. It's been hanging above us. And now we finally cut the cable here. We are talking about Adam Sandler's inimitable flick, Jack and Jill. But you don't have to take my word for it. Let's hear from the Upolu tribe giving their own sort of like commercial slash included clips for the hit motion picture Jack and Jill as they won this reward during Survivor South Pacific.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and bring that up. This is going to be a clip from the episode.
It's going to be a clip from the Upolu tribe watching Jack and Jill. It's going to include some clips and, of course, some of their mostly uproarious reactions, including a rather tearful close-up from Sprint fan favorite or Sprint cast member, Sears cast member Rick Nelson.
All right. So here we go. Let's share Jack and Jill. We're going to skip ahead to when we're getting our reward. All right, here we go.
And pretty much unlimited candy.
How we doing?
Where were you?
I've been waiting forever for you. This place is creeping me out.
Some twins have strange powers, and they can feel when the other one's hurt.
A little harder.
What? Hey, I'm a gun!
Jack and Jill loved it. I love Adam Sandler. Personally, I'm a fan.
Good to see you, Jill.
The house looks amazing. You got a new chandelier?
It was good because it was funny, but at the same time, there was a message, and the message was, hey, family comes first. It's a great message for us to be reminded that going into these days to come, it will get tough. It will get to be a point of compromise. But we have to be uncompromisable as a unit, unbreakable. That's what our tribe is. And now we're ready to play the second half of this game.
Wow, what a lesson. Jason, are you willing to...
They were clapping as Coach's speech there.
Yes. Are you willing to guess on Rotten Tomatoes, the critic meter on...
Did BB let you in this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to go... You said Metacritic for Gulliver's Travels is like 30-something%, right?
Yeah, I think that I'm able to probably get Gulliver's Travels in a moment.
That'll give me a good point. I'm going to go probably for critic score like a 20.
20. Okay, Mike, you want higher or lower than 20?
I think it's single digits. I think this is often touted as one of the worst modern films ever made. Yeah. So I would imagine that they piled on the criticism here.
3% critic score.
Whoa.
Audience score 36%,
and I'm pretty sure that 3% is all Coach Wade, mm-hmm. as he submitted his own review about
I love
how
it. Greatest movie.
I loved it.
Adam Sandler. I think my favorite part is Adam Sandler's favorite of mine, personally.
I love his
work. Where are we at in the Adam Sandler filmography here? Were we already out on Adam Sandler at this point? Or
I think he's come back. I think that this might have been like pretty close to the absolute nadir of the Adam Sandler filmography.
Yeah, now he's back. But I think I'm wondering at the time, were we like way out on Adam Sandler already, or is this the start of his decline?
Well, there were little things, right? There was like Crazy Stupid or Punch Drunk Love, and there was like
Spanglish.
Yeah, and then there was, you know, there were some things that he was working on. Click is another one. They're like, oh, Adam Sandler can do some stuff, but this was, you know, I'm looking at the other ones around this time. You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Yeah.
Funny People, Grown Ups came out, I believe, the year before Jack and Jill. Just Go With It, which he flagrantly said was an excuse for him and Jennifer Aniston to just go on a vacation.
Isn't that
with
all
their
his
families.
Movies now?
Yeah. So Gulliver's Travels actually only had a 20% on the tomato meter, but a 27% audience score. So audience actually enjoyed Jack and Jill more.
Yeah, 7% came from the Survivor contestants.
I mean, listen, there's nothing like Adam Sandler's voice going like this for an hour and a half. It almost seems like they edited in the actual movie, Jack and Jill. It's just weird to imagine. It is so surreal and uncanny valley for me to imagine that a group of Survivor contestants competing for $1 million kick back and watch an Adam Sandler movie during one of the most important moments of the game. It is something that has just given me so much cognitive dissonance, even almost 10 years after the fact.
Did they all get together in mutiny like the Borneo contestants? Yeah. Like, just don't make us watch that movie. Show anything else but that movie.
Yeah, please. And then they just spliced in oh, they loved it. Yeah, they absolutely loved Jack and Jill.
Only Coach gives the confessional.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I
love
the
shot of Sophie just like kind of laughing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Sophie, you know, proves why she is a woman after all of our hearts. Just completely, nearly stone-facing the entire movie, not reacting whatsoever to, let's say, for example, Jill languishing in bed with a cockatoo next to her for whatever reason, or getting punched in the face by a child who has something duct taped to his head.
You never laid in bed with a cockatoo? Yeah.
When they got Rick and Brandon just laughing maniacally, like, and I do believe they would laugh maniacally at a movie like that. I think those type of guys that would do that.
Okay. All right.
Not to speak ill of the Sears Award winner. Rick Nelson.
Sears was like, she's not going to bite on product placement. Don't put her through.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, we're going to screen some Adam Sandler clips for you, and we'll see how you react to them.
Mm, okay. All right. Better than Marshalls.
I mean, listen, let me throw something out here.
Yeah. You're going to shoot it up?
I think this is the top spot right
now. Top spot. All right. Well, let's then compare it and contrast it to Gulliver. Okay. Mike, make the case. Why should this be higher than Gulliver?
I think Gulliver's Travels has the one. It doesn't have reaction moments, right? We have Benry saying it's a good flick, and we have like the image of Dan Lembo in the chair. But Jack and Jill has just the ridiculous idea of this tribe uproariously reacting to what is regarded as one of the worst films ever created. It's not just saying that Gulliver Travels is not a great movie, but it is not one of the most talked about films as just like the bottom of the Casa de Charmin, if you know what I'm talking about. So the fact that it was not only included, but the tribe was favorably reacting to it, and Coach was deriving an Aristotelian moral from it, I think puts it by far the gold standard of just memorability and iconic sponsorship within Survivor. Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's Coach's speech versus Dan's, you know, swinging his legs.
Yeah.
And think Sophie's Coach's speech wins out. Yeah. I think Jack and Joe wins out.
And then Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit also after watching Gulliver's Travels. Does that help it or hurt it?
I don't think it affects it much. I think it's an after. I think all that happens pretty much after Gulliver's Travels, but you have the talking about it while they're in Gulliver's Travels, but all that happens after after the fact.
And let me also mention that much like Gulliver's Travels, the challenge was themed around Jack and Jill, where they had to pair off and paint themselves to look like each other. And Jeff said, Jack and Jill is a film about a pair of twins. And this is really like on the island. Jack and Jill don't always get along. But in the end, they realize they need each other to survive in this world, much like you guys do now.
Hmm. You had two comparisons to the game of Survivor in that episode for that one movie.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it is one of the worst movies ever made, and it draws not one, but two metaphors.
Yes. Then, is there anything to it being the second movie? Does Gulliver's Travels do anything that it was the first product placement, that these two happened within the same calendar year on Survivor Nicaragua, mm-hmm. and then on Survivor South Pacific, I believe, right? Oh, no, I think it might have been separated by 1 year. I think that those were both right. fall seasons, 21 and 23.
Ironically enough, actually, the two Sears seasons were the two movie seasons.
Yeah. Boston Rob was like, hey, don't put a movie on my season.
Yeah, they actually were going to do it. He's like, no. He threw the film canister actually into that volcano along with the idol clue.
The only movie I would watch is... What did they go see in Survivor All-Stars?
It was Lord of the Flies.
Well, the only movie I go see is Lord of the Flies.
Maybe with Fever Pitch.
With my girl, Amber.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, no mention of Lord of the Flies or Out of Africa or Treasure Island because these were not sponsored films.
I'm sorry.
They were saying, this is an exclusive. You are about to watch cinematic masterpiece being unleashed onto the world a little bit early, Survivor folks. Here's Jack and Jill.
Mm, okay.
I think you mean Out of Africa. Like Frank would say.
Africa, yes.
Africa.
Jason, you're good with Jack and Jill in the top spot?
I'm good there, yeah.
Okay. All right. Mike, do you have anything else?
One more left.
All right.
And this could be challenging for the top spot here, because I think it's going to do pretty well. Maybe I'm inclined to say it, because my last name is Bloom, and Bloom is part of a popular product at Outback Steakhouse. We are finishing strong with the authority on steaks, as Jeff Probst would call it.
All right, Outback Steakhouse. What seasons has the Outback Steakhouse sponsored Survivor?
It has sponsored Season 20, Season 28, and probably most infamously, the Merge Feast of Season 35, Triple H.
That was infamous.
I mean, it was a lot of people were talking about it. Specifically, I mean, it's not on the level of the Applebee's, but it's sort of on that spectrum of them freaking out. We all remember the like yippee-ki-yay jump that Ben did when they found out that he was getting a ribeye. Joe Mena basically is drooling all over the beach when he hears about the chocolate thunder from down under. Like, yes. There is a lot of stuff packed into that Outback placement.
Yeah, Sandra famously, she loves the Outback, Jason. Then it comes up in season Kagyan when that is when we're talking about the pineapple Rita.
Yeah, with the bacon, and that's when Spencer finds a clue in his napkin, even though he barely touched the napkin the entire time because he was just so hungry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Jason, are you an Outback guy?
I am an Outback guy. Probably a little more than Applebee's guy, but again, not in the tier of restaurants I
risk COVID
for.
People hate on the Outback. I think it's... I've never had a bad time.
Yeah, I enjoy the Outback.
I'm not a snob, okay?
I may not like Sears, but damn it, I will not turn away an Outback.
Yeah. Stephen Fishback won't be joining me. But I'm like Tony. I don't go to fine dining.
No, he goes to Bonefish.
Mm-hmm. All right. The Outback. The Blooming Onion.
Yeah.
Former employer of Mike Bloom.
Exactly. So this is something that's near and dear to my heart. I did work for 6 months at an Outback Steakhouse, so I know the products. Well, I did leave before the pineapple Rita's, so I couldn't take advantage of that employee discount. But, Jeff described lasciviously once more the bone-in natural cut ribeye, baked potato with all the fix-ins.
All fix-ins.
The chocolate thunder from down under, again, that molten brownie that Jessica describes in a not-so-virginal way about how she wanted that chocolate thunder from down under from that waiter. And, of course, the Gold Coast Rita. And the pineapple Rita.
Wow. Okay. A lot there. Okay.
A lot there. And it's also the source of not one, but two idol clues. This is not only where Spencer found his, but Parvati found hers in her napkin. And that was the key to that 7-Up original moment that she spoke about where she found her second idol and played it.
Yeah. Here's Jessica talking about the chocolate thunder down under.
This Aussie waiter, you know, he brings me a thunder from down under, and I'm like, I love your thunder from down under, and that's not something that typically comes out of my mouth. Being a virgin, I try to stay pretty moral and holy.
I don't know. When I think chocolate thunder from down under, I immediately say my hiney's clean, because if there's a chocolate thunder down under, it might not be the case.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Most virgins then punctuate every sentence with, as a virgin, when I think about Chocolate Thunder from Down Under. Okay. All right. So, where does it go? Where does it go on the big board?
It's a good question, because I personally think it's worth playing for, but I'm not sure where it falls in that top three.
Mike, you're hyping it up a lot, but I don't know if I'm that high on it.
There's a lot of there's a lot of moments around it. I mean, I think it had three very good appearances on the show.
Is it a compiler?
What do you mean?
In that does it not have iconic moments, but has it had been on enough seasons where it has racked up some moments?
Right,
I think it has enough moments to put it up there, but not as high as I think Mike wants to put it.
Okay. Yeah, but I would say compared to like Charmin, which appeared on three seasons. Home Depot,
let's put it in the middle
seasons.
Of the pack here. Let's put it by the Pringles. Okay.
It's definitely over Pringles for me.
Over the Pringles.
Definitely. Yeah. And I would say I think it goes past Applebee's.
Yes.
Personally.
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. It crosses the chip threshold. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's over Applebee's?
I think it's over Applebee's. Yes, I think the Applebee's freak out is great. But again, there's a little bit of like a mini Applebee's-esque freak out with the season 35 cast when they find out about Outback. So you get that anyway.
Is it over the Home Depot?
I think so. Because I feel like we have people talk so much about how much they love Outback Steakhouse. And I feel like we don't get that with like Home Depot or Charmin, you know?
Okay. Jason, do you agree with Outback Steakhouse over the Home Depot?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Outback versus Outhouse.
Yes. I'm going to make the same argument that I feel like with the Aztec, with Sprint and with these other two movies, you have people talking about them, right? As if they're their own shill for the product. I don't think we get that for Charmin. Charmin has fun moments, but I think Outback should be inched above it just because it now has those sort of like, you know, like plants of Outback shills in there to talk about how much they love it.
Jason, what do you think?
I agree. Put it over the Charmin.
Okay. Can it get past the Aztec?
Yes. Yeah, I don't. I'd be intrigued to ask your guys' opinion on that.
I would leave it right where you got it.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Can't pass the Aztec, Mike. I know you're a former employee, so you're biased. So do you think that the blooming onion can cannot go full bloom?
Oh, God, yeah, this is tough. I would see it above the Aztec, but that is my bias. I mean, I just did watch the season 35 merch feast, which is Well, it's for the purposes of this.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is so... Don't question my life choices, Robert. It's the off-season.
I just know you're a busy guy. I don't know whether you stopped out to rewatch Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers.
But it is so prominently Outback heavy, even more so than Colby's like, wow, that's a nice interior. But I don't know, maybe the rabidness with which these contestants were just tripping over themselves to get their hands on Outback Steakhouse across multiple seasons might give it the push, for in my opinion.
I think the Aztec is more iconic. That it's such a ugly car that I feel like if I saw an Aztec somewhere, I would think of two things. I would think of Breaking Bad and I would think of Survivor. If I drove past the Outback, I don't think I would think of the Sandra finding an idle clue.
I think for me, the Aztec, and I love the Touchstones to a different time. Like at the time, we thought that car was cool and we wanted to have that car. Now we look at it as an abomination. And I think that's part of what makes it pretty high up there.
Mm-hmm. It's a disastrous car.
It really is. It's the only car with a badonkadonk.
Yeah. So I feel like that the car sort of stands on its own.
All right. I'm fine with this being Outback's resting place, which is ironic given you're very soon to go to your resting place if you eat too much Outback Steakhouse.
I was going to say that you were going to say that the Pontiac Aztec was almost once my resting place.
Your resting place will end up in that Casa de Charmin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at where we stand.
And we can see if we want to move any in and out of tiers as well. Because right, I think... Surprisingly, forget you go home goodbye is empty. Our trash tier is completely clean.
I mean, should anything go down to the bottom tier?
I would put 7-Up down to Marshalls in the bottom tier.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Mike, do you have any problem with delegating these three to the bottom?
Nah, you know what? I would put them down there because I think they are not good rewards paired with, like, yes, there are fun moments there, but I think compared to everything else, they are just so... They pale so much in comparison. I think Sears gets by the skin of its teeth by that casting contest. Otherwise, it might be down there as well.
Now, when you say it gets by, is that a callback to your product placement drink?
Yeah, exactly. The buy has been gotten, so I'm selling it at this point. I think that Sears had some memorability in that capacity, so I think it and above is going to stay in Ain't No Hershey
Bar.
Okay,
so just to give our final rankings here, okay, so we have 18 things, correct?
Mm-hmm. We fill out a Survivor cast and Brant steal this, Rob, a day in the future.
Let's not do that tonight. Okay. All right. So right now, currently at number 18 is Marshalls.
Never got out of the bottom here. I think it was the third one that we said, and it just nothing but down for Marshalls.
Okay. Then at number 17 is the Snickers bar.
Mm-hmm.
I may be a lot of things, but I ain't no Snickers bar. Okay.
and I would say, unfortunately, I think would have given. I misremember that the chocolate that Colby refuses and gets into like a snippy fight with Probstead, I thought it was a Snicker bar. It was just a miscellaneous bar of chocolate. If it had been a Snickers bar, it would have definitely been pushed up.
Let's go. You know, I'm ready.
Yeah, unfortunately, it only has those two moments.
I'm ready to shoot the scene now, Jack. Okay. All right. Number 16 is 7-Up. Number 15, Sears. Mm. Stop me if anything should be higher or lower. 14, Reebok. 13, an episode of Survivor itself. Number 12, a computer. Number 11, the Jeff Probst Visa. Number 10, Survivor Pringles. Once poisoned a coworker of mine. I've got two cans in my garage. Okay, number 9.
Really attached to those Pringles, Rob. They've survived a couple moves with you, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really attached to those Pringles.
Okay. Why? What am I supposed to do? Throw them out?
Give them a cliff.
Yeah. They almost killed a man. Number 9. Survivor Doritos in Mountain Dew. Number 8. Applebee's for Karishma. There you go. So number 8 on our list.
That's actually that might be the place that Krishma came in too.
Oh.
I love Applebee's.
Okay. Number 7, Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, the Casa di Charmin.
Or I guess Charmin miscellaneous buildings.
Mm-hmm. Number 5, a Blooming Onion. Number 4, the Pontiac Aztec.
Now, do you think there's a case to be made to switch the Aztec and the Sprint? For me, there might be.
Okay.
Mm.
An Applebee's queso. Applebee's you want to change Applebee's and Sprint? Or the Aztec and Sprint?
I want to change Aztec and Sprint.
I
feel like the Aztec, you get, like, in real life, you would get more use out of the Aztec. I would want to know what happens to all the cars after Survivor. Like, who keeps their cars? Who doesn't keep their cars for due to tax purposes?
So that I have a little bit of visibility into this from knowing many survivors over the years. So that they get the cars from the dealership. They go to the dealership. I feel like a lot of them like trade it in after a little bit of time.
Mm.
Well, famously, Dreams couldn't afford the taxes, right?
I think that
I'm pretty sure he sold his truck after everything went down.
Yes, he got a different car. So I do remember, going for a ride. I feel like, Mike, what car did the Survivor Marquesas players all get?
That is a good question that I'm looking at.
That was a View, I think. Saturn View.
Saturn View. Yeah, they got like an SUV. I feel like that. Once upon a time, I went for a ride in Boston Rob's Saturn View circa 2002. But they did all get those cars. I don't know if I ever got to go in Jenna Maraska's Saturn Ion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you cruise for chicks and Matt's
Saturday? Never got to hang out too much with Mateo post Survivor of the Amazon. I don't know how impressed women would be if you were driving around a Saturn Ion.
I'm probably better than Pontiac Aztec.
I think the Aztec would probably be a little bit more of like, oh, okay, at least it's an SUV.
Well, I was going to say, I think Pontiac Aztec is sort of like peacocking, where people are like, it's a talking point of like, wow, that's an ugly car. And you're like, well, yeah, I mean.
But do you know there's a bed in there?
Is there also an expectation, like if you're trying to pick up chicks in there, like what do you think we're going to do in that car?
Hmm. I know. It's a little forward. It is a little forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's in the back.
Then, should it be ahead of Sprint, though?
See, Sprint has had more of the impact on the show, but I guess the question is it more memorable than the
Aztec?
I think
I'm thinking more family visit versus car.
I think that Sprint is probably ahead of the Aztec. I feel like that I still would say, have to catch myself and say Sprint fan favorite. If to talk about the, like if there was an award for the fan favorite player of the season. So I think it's been there. Mike Bloom has them all memorized. I would feel bad to knock it below the Aztec.
We don't want to mess with a sleeper team.
And let me ask, should Sprint be moved into worth playing for? Because Sprint was one of the first ones that we went through. And I wonder if upon reflection, much like we did with, you know, the bottom three, if it's just so noteworthy enough that it shouldn't be anywhere above number three, but it might deserve a spot in the top tier.
It feels weird to say only the movies are.
Exactly. Like, hey, the only Survivor tier sponsors worth playing for are the two really crappy films that they had to watch on Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
But do you also want to put the car in there? Because the cars were a part of
that's a good call, actually.
The tradition of Survivor. It was on multiple seasons. It was a big deal when it happened.
I'll take that argument. I think that's a great call.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then, all right. So the Pontiac Aztec is four. Sprint fan favorite is three. The Gulliver's Travels movie reward is two. And number one with a bullet, it's Jack and Jill.
Very Sophie Clark themed podcast this time. We hear her casting story and we get to have her relive all the trauma of watching Jack and Jill as its number one spot here.
So there you go. All right. What a great list. Thank you to the listeners who helped suggest all the different things to put together here in our Outwit Outplayout list. Great job, Mike, by curating everything here today.
Yeah, this was really fun. So, you know, depending on the frequency and subject matter with which we come back is going to be dependent on you all. So please let us know your thoughts. We're trying things out in this off season. Survivor is not looking to come onto the horizon anytime soon. So we're trying to look out ways to like have fun with the show and look back on different ways. And Rob and I certainly have a bunch of ideas, including patron ideas. Let us know your thoughts. I mean, if you want to, we can come back more frequently, but I'm excited to, however many times we do this, come back and list some more stuff out from Survivor history.
Okay. All right. Jason, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
If I could offer you any of these rewards right now, what would it be?
The Aztec, obviously.
Just wants to lie down and go to sleep in that roomy back.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I had a ton of fun.
Yes.
Brought to you by Skippy.
Wow, that is a lot of peanut butter. That is like that's like a Edge of Extinction size jar.
Right.
How many tokens does that cost you?
About 12.
12 about fire 12. Tokens. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I extorted them all from Tony.
Yes. Boy, you're in some sort of like a Costco pantry with giant peanut butter and giant oats.
That's right. We're a big Costco family.
Yeah, you're really like, actually, you're living in like Gulliver's Travels. Everything is so giant around you.
Yeah.
Yes. What does your shirt say, Jason?
It's an Avengers shirt.
Avengers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
Unfortunately, no MCU film screened during. Yeah. Fortunately, CBS couldn't get the rights to screen some Marvel movies as rewards for survivors.
Not yet. Not yet. Who knows? Maybe come Survivor 41.
Yeah, actually, I think the Survivor Cinema might be the safest place to go see movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jason, where can people keep up with you?
I am on Twitter at JR1085. That's
JAYR1085. 1085. Got it. Okay. All right. And then, Mike, what are you else are you working on?
Yeah, so if I'm talking more island-based shenanigans with Josh Wiggler on Down the Hatch, our Lost Rewatch podcast, as well as Going Galactic with Jessica Leese on our Star Trek Discovery coverage. But outside of that, Rob, you and I are still keeping it in the CBS family this fall as we're podcasting not once, but twice a week about The Amazing Race.
Which can I make a pitch to the Survivor fans also who may not be watching The Amazing Race? What else are you doing with your lives? Come have fun. Watch The Amazing Race with us.
Yeah, it's been a really fun season so far. It's a really great cast. I highly encourage people to check it out. If you've never seen it before, we do a lot of explaining on the podcast. We even have an entire Amazing Race 101 segment to talk about previous instances where certain things have happened. So don't
it's
you worry.
It's an easy watch. Look.
Yeah, whether you're a beginning or an advanced person, listen, there's a spot right here for CBS Reality on Wednesday at 8 o'clock that's currently filled by a very great show. Just because it only took place on an island for one leg doesn't mean that you shouldn't be deterred from checking it out.
I'll keep it 100 with you. Amazing Race isn't my favorite show that I get to podcast about, but you know what? It's the only show that's on right now. So that's what I'm doing. We're watching The Amazing Race, and I get to talk with my friends, Mike and Jess. Okay?
Plus, we have a lot of miscellaneous, like this type of fun with it as well. In fact, last time in our Tar Pits, which is our second podcast of the week, we did a deep dive into CBS holiday merchandise, which shows just how off the beaten path we are going. So if you're not so committed to The Amazing Race, you get to hear us talk nonsense each and every week. And who doesn't need that right now in 2020?
All right. Check that out. And of course, if you are interested in even more Survivor shenanigans, the Star Wars brand Steel is up in our podcast feed. And then you could also check out our first ever live patron brand Steel, which is up on our Patreon page at robhasawebsite.com/patron. You could watch it for free. The YouTube video is available at robhasawebsite.com/patron. We will have more lists, more talking with T-Bird, more Survivor fun, more Amazing Race, and much more, all at robhasawebsite.com. So check it out. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.